The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
And today is Monday, October 19th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the total number of confirmed coronavirus cases worldwide reached 40 million Monday morning, according to a tally from Johns Hopkins University. The grim new milestone comes as some countries and the United States are trying more targeted measures to address the recent surges in cases, especially in Europe and the Americas. In the United States, new outbreaks are sending the nation towards a third wave, the NBC News reports. Specifically, 38 states, Washington, D.C., and Guam all recorded increases in cases over the last 14 days, and nine states have plateaued, according to the NBC News tallies. Texas, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands are the only places without increases in cases. Pennsylvania is reporting 1,857 new COVID-19 cases, the second highest daily total since the beginning of the pandemic, days after officials said the Commonwealth was seeing a fall resurgence of the coronavirus. The numbers announced Saturday by the state health department are exceeded only by the 1,989 cases reported on April 9th and bring the statewide total to almost 181,000 cases.
I have to imagine you're on Guam going, what the F? Right? Guam.
Nine new deaths were reported, bringing the total number of deaths associated with the virus to 8,466 in the state of Pennsylvania. The state's health secretary, Dr. Rachel Levine, said that there are no plans to reimpose a stay-at-home order or shut down businesses. She says Pennsylvania is more prepared for such an influx than it was in the spring. The 26-year-old brother of rapper Fetty Wap was shot and killed in New Jersey. The rapper posted a tribute to his Instagram story on Sunday morning. Love you. Really missing you, kid, but I see you brought the sun out today. I'm a pour some up for you today, he wrote. Officials say they responded to a shooting Thursday night around 9 p.m. near 187 Lawrence Street in Patterson. The victim's brother was taken to St. Joseph's University Medical Center by private vehicle after he suffered a gunshot wound. Police say that he died of his injuries at 11 p.m. The investigation is active and ongoing. The Passaic County Prosecutor's Office says if anyone has additional information to please contact them. Armenian Americans who live in the Philadelphia region took to the streets Sunday evening to draw attention to the deadly conflict in their homeland. A large group shut down traffic first on 676 near 3rd Street in Old City and later moved to 95. The demonstrations, which were peaceful, started earlier in the day near the Philadelphia Art Museum. Armenia and Azerbaijan, backed by the Turkish government, are engaged in a bloody conflict over a disputed province. The sides are accusing one another of violating a ceasefire agreement. The weekend protests were held to raise awareness and encourage Philadelphians to back the Armenians in the region. In sports this morning. Morning. The Eagles dropped to 1-4-1 yesterday afternoon following a 30-28 loss to the Ravens.
What the f*** is it?
After falling into a 17-point deficit, they battled back and made it close, but were stopped on a two-point conversion with just under 2 minutes to play. The Eagles now have won only one game in the month and a half of this season. They have a quick turnaround this week and will play on Thursday night at home against the New York Giants, who have won their first game of the season yesterday afternoon by beating the Washington football team. In baseball playoffs, the Los Angeles Dodgers came back to beat the Atlanta Braves 4-3 in Game 7 of the National League Championship Series. Cody Bellinger crushed a seventh-inning home run to break the tie, and Julio Urias shut down the Braves' lineup for the final nine outs. Once down 3-1 in the series and down for the first five innings of Game 7, the Dodgers came back with a home run and will advance to their third World Series in the last 4 years. The Dodgers will face the American League champs, the Tampa Bay Rays, and the World Series will begin in the bubble city of Arlington, Texas on Tuesday night. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy, and hi. Welcome.
Hey.
Welcome. Welcome.
How are you?
New week, doing well. You guys?
Good, yeah.
Excellent.
Very good. You gave a great weather report, so that's good.
Yeah, and I'm telling you what, it was a stunning weekend. It was so gorgeous this weekend. It was,
Exactly.
You need to get out and enjoy the colors. We took our dog for a walk out on the Pergamon, our dogs, my son and I, on the Pergamon Trail yesterday, and
gorgeous.
It was just perfect, and we've got that peak color action happening right now.
Yeah, I took my son for a walk in Ridley Creek State Park. By the way, I saw where the tornado came rampaging through
the destruction.
Yeah. I was looking at it. I was like, oh, they're doing construction here? Like, what are they doing? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
God's I'm so glad you texted me that because that's exactly where it was where I was talking about it on the show, what, a month ago or whatever. Yeah. It's pretty remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's just one straight line of destruction. But I was going to say, Press, I realized probably, I don't know, 2 or 3 miles into my walk that me and my son were the only ones not wearing masks. Did you notice everybody wearing masks on the trail by any chance?
We didn't really see that many people because we were going up the back of Spring Mountain and it's like you got to, it's a challenge if you're riding a bike and so on. But I didn't see many people wearing masks at all.
Okay, I felt like such an a-hole. By like the fourth or fifth like group of people that, and they were only wearing masks. I was like, oh my god, I'm like such an a-hole here. I'm the only, we're the only ones not wearing. And I didn't even bring them with me. It's not like I was like, oh, I can reach in.
Were
my
you
pocket.
Spaced far apart enough?
Well, when you walk past people,
were you like doing square dancing with everyone you came up to?
If you're outside and there's distance, fine. It's cool. Yeah.
But just making a mental note. Okay, next time, make sure I have a mask. And that's just for other people, not necessarily,
whatever your call, man. I think the bigger issue is you're with the wrong son.
I was like, who are you? My son's blonde.
Yeah, it's always good to have one just in case you might yourself or you need to run in somewhere real quick and didn't realize you didn't have it. So,
do you know what I do? I slap it on my wrist, and if I'm going into a place, I have it at the ready.
Yeah.
And then if I'm going to a place where it seems like people are uncomfortable if I'm not wearing one, I'll pop it on and I'll just do it. And this way, I really look so sexy with it on my wrist.
Well, the NFL referees actually have them attached basically to like a necklace. So when they have to, make an announcement, they take it off and it's just
necklace.
Kinda, yeah. Yeah.
So anyhow, get out and enjoy the week, the colors if you can, because it's so pretty out and it doesn't last very long. And we're going to get a beautiful week of weather, which is nice. Guest-wise on the show today, we have a very funny guy. Michael Yo is going to be joining us. He will be at Punchline Philly on Friday and Saturday. They're doing that patio series still, so he'll get in touch with us in preparation for that as tickets are on. That's part of your Rocky
impression that now that you hear it is
really bad. We also have a for Word of the Week prize, a $300 Xfinity Live gift card that we are going to give away. So keep track of the letter of the day. And I have a bunch of really good food stuff for you to win because Bonefish Grill for the stupid question and Nebraza for the lesson learned. And then we have a bunch of other things to give away through the course of the week as well. So we'll have an opportunity for you to win some goodies. Now, here's an update on Rocktober Madness, sponsored by Horizon Services. Some interesting things happened over the weekend. And we move on. So Bruce got beat by the Kinks. It was pretty wild.
Preston, I was like stunned. Listen, I'm a huge fan of both. I love the Kinks. Yep. I probably would have given the edge to Bruce, but that's a shock.
I would have absolutely given the edge to Bruce. But he was number 2 seed. The Kinks were 7. Genesis beat Yes. I was surprised to see that. But they were seeded 7, and Yes was seeded 15th, so it wasn't really an upset.
Right.
You have Metallica over Alice in Chains. And, thank you. The Beatles did beat Rage Against the Machine. That was one where I was like, come on, man.
But that sets up a really interesting matchup in the next round.
It does. Iron Maiden against the Beatles.
Seriously.
Yeah. But the face-offs today will be Linkin Park against Aerosmith. And that's in the Pierre Pancake bracket. In our bracket, the Preston and Steve Show, Led Zeppelin and AC/DC.
That's a formidable battle.
That's a big one.
So they carry the same sort of gravitas in rock, obviously. And there's a huge fan base for both and a crossover fan base. Yeah. I'll be curious to see how that plays out.
In the Jackson and Sarah bracket, Foo Fighters against Tom Petty. That's a tight one as well. So we'll see how that goes. And then in the Jackie and Brent bracket, it will be Stevie Ray Vaughan. Who surged ahead of Tool out of with everyone's surprise. And they'll be going against the rabid fan base of Shinedown. So it's going to be some very interesting matchups today. Don't miss out on it. You can get the details at WMMR.com when that's coming. But it does start 11:30 a.m. with Pierre. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a second. Entertainment report. Yep, that's coming up. I mentioned some good stuff to give away. So we'll have your chance to take a crack at it in just a little bit as we're starting our work week together. We'll be back in a moment.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, let's ask a stupid question of you and see if you know the answer. If you do and you get through, you got a $50 Bonefish Grill gift card for the correct answer. And the question that I have to pose to you has to do with the rhinoceros. And here is the question. So the rhino gets its name from the Greek words rhino and seros. Those are two separate words.
Right.
What do they mean?
Huh.
Those two words, rhino and seros. 215-263 WMMR, call right now. Let's see if you know the answer. I'll go through some birthdays while we're waiting for your call. Today is the 19th of October. It's Amy Carter's birthday today, the daughter of Jimmy Carter and Rosalind Carter. She is 53 years old today.
Oh, no.
She was probably 9 or 10 years old.
When, I remember as a little girl. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, she's 53. John Favreau turns a year older today as well. He is 54.
He is basically, with Kevin Feige or Feige or however it's pronounced, the reason we have the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
If Iron Man had tanked, if it had not have been a good film, you would have had a maybe a spot a movie here, a movie there. You would not have had that arc that set off.
That's pretty wild to think about that. Did he produce the that Stephen Byrne movie, Opening Act? Is he and Peter Billingsley?
No,
or is it Vince Vaughn?
Vince Vaughn and Peter Billingsley. But they're all part of the same collective. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, and let's not forget that Jon Favreau, and we talked about this not that long ago, directed Elf.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes.
And apparently he and Will Ferrell didn't see eye to eye very well on it, and that's why a sequel never really happened. But you know what? I don't think we need a sequel to Elf. Elf stands alone.
No.
It's excellent. You don't need to touch it. It'll be just fine. John Favreau's 54 today. Evander Holyfield.
Yes.
Casey used to have a real fear of him.
No, it was marvelous Marvin Hagler.
Oh, it was Marvin Hagler.
Marvin Hagler could beat up the world.
He could beat up the world, guys.
Okay.
But then Sugar Ray Leonard showed me that he indeed cannot beat up the world.
Yes. Okay, yeah. And Evander Holyfield was badass in his own right. He is 58 years old today. Michael Gambone, who has played Dumbledore in many films in the Harry Potter universe. Wow, he's 80 years old today.
Six of the eight. I mean, he's, in my mind, one of the best replacement actors from in a series ever. Because Richard Harris did the first two, and then Gambone took over and did the last six movies, and he was great.
Richard Harris had a bold contract maneuver. He died.
Yeah, he got out of it. Okay. Yeah, with death.
But you're right. He was able to pick up that character and miss it and hit it without missing a beat. So happy 80th to him. Chris Kattan, who smells really funny when he comes by here.
And ate a bagel, like he tore the bagel apart and had cream cheese all over his face. Mm-hmm. And
what we later learned, though, and I guess it could be a part of an explanation of what the story is with him, he has suffered from severe, debilitating back pain.
Yeah.
And he actually had an issue after the last time he was on with us. It came to light that he was basically fighting addiction for those back pain.
And we kind of thought, all right, that makes a little bit of sense.
It made a little bit more sense.
Yep. He's 50 today. Ty Pennington celebrates his 56th birthday today.
Come on, Steve, you got it.
Yeah, it's over here.
From, yes. You know what's funny is we had him in the studio. We played that for him, and he said he didn't even really remember doing that. They've done so many episodes, and he doesn't really recall doing that. So, okay. I think I would have remembered when I acted like a freaking maniac. But
it's like a Samoan family that they were doing a house for, and so he learned a Samoan war chant.
It was.
Oh, he learned one or just mimicked one or mocked one?
It's on the same. I wish it was on the same button or bank, though. Yeah, but no.
Ty is 56 today. John Lithgow, the great John Lithgow. Talk about a guy who can do it all, man. He's wonderfully comedic, and he can be as serious as anybody.
So take the same guy who played Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
And imagine him in Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah.
As the crazy alien.
Yeah.
Dude, and Roger Ailes in the Bombshell movie.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he's disgusting.
And I told you, I thought he was that big. I thought he was that fat, but if it was a fat suit, right?
Yeah,
And let's not forget the voice of Lord Farquaad. And I liked Third Rock from the Sun.
It was
I
a great show. A great Look at the talent that was involved in that show.
Yeah, yeah. He's 75 today.
You guys didn't mention Harry and the Hendersons. Come on,
it's
that's
one
the
of the greats.
First
that's
movie.
What he won his second Oscar for that.
That's right. Yep.
He also played a former Philadelphia Eagle. Does anybody remember that? What movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Garp.
Yeah.
World According to Garp.
He wasn't looking like himself.
Nope. Yep. We also have the pop artist Peter Max.
Had him in the studio.
83. Yep. These really cool, trippy 60s, awesome pieces of artwork. Trey Parker, South Park fame, turns 51 years old today. Patrick Simmons of the Doobie Brothers. He's the guy with the long hair, sings Blackwater. Outstanding great. Musician. Great finger-picking guitarist. He is 72 today. Then you have Jason Reitman, who's been here in our studio, director of Juno, Thank You for Smoking, Up in the Air, to name a few.
You know, it hasn't come out yet, and I think it might have been put on hold because of the COVID stuff, is his Ghostbusters movie.
Mm.
Because he did a Ghostbusters movie that's sort of a reboot where kids take over the mantle.
Yeah.
Right?
And does Bill Murray have a cameo in there?
I think he does. Yeah.
They're all in it.
Yeah.
They're all in it. Because
it's in that universe.
It
right?
is. It's in that universe, and they discover, I think, the old ambulance. And whatever the story is, it's a take on it that's supposed to be really good. But, Nick, I think it was set to roll out for the summer and never made it, right?
Yeah. The original poster, Steve, says summer 2020, but now they pushed it back to at least March of 2021.
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Right.
Is that Paul Rudd?
It is, yeah.
Isn't that too?
Yeah, okay. Paul Rudd and the original cast, everybody that's still alive, obviously, Sigourney Weaver and Aykroyd, Bill Murray.
So the quasi-drought that we have now, you know, with new movies, once we get clear of this where whatever, you know, whatever happens, there's going to be an avalanche of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, even Annie Potts is in it. We're looking at the cast here. Wow, very cool. Ernie Hudson. And then last birthday is actress Rebecca Ferguson, who was here in our studio, and I was very smitten with her. She's
awesome.
Sweet and beautiful, and this lovely English accent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She was in a couple of the Mission Impossible films. We were just talking about recently Dr. Sleep, the sequel to The Shining. She plays the main evil character in that, Rose the Hat, and she's going to be in the Dune remake playing Lady Jessica when that eventually comes out. So she is 37 today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to today's stupid question. So what do the words rhino and ceros, which make up rhinoceros, what do they mean? 215-263-WMMR. I will go to Nancy. Hi there, Nancy.
Good morning.
All right, so Nancy, what do those two words, rhino and ceros, mean?
Nose. And horn.
She nailed it. Yes. Hang on, Nancy. Nose and horn. Oh, gotcha. I thought we were talking about Ron Jaworski.
Ron Jaworski, yeah.
Nancy, we are going to give you a $50 Bonefish Grill gift card. It's National Seafood Month, and Bonefish Grill is celebrating all month long with seasonal favorites like their grilled swordfish and pumpkin ravioli.
Mm-hmm.
And fresh apple martini made with house-infused apple cinnamon vodka. Yum. Taste the sea with family bundles that feed up to five people starting at $30. You can order online at bonefishgrill.com. Delivery from DoorDash and Uber Eats or dine in whenever you are ready. We will start with some takes at the box office. You had the number one film was Honest Thief at $3.7 million. That is correct, yes. They made $3.7 million over the weekend.
Did you hear the great news? We made nearly $4 million in a national release.
That's right. Two was War With, followed by Tenet. Nightmare Before Christmas, Hocus Pocus, Two Hearts, The New Mutants was number seven.
Still in there.
Yep, followed by Unhinged, Love and Monsters, and Beetlejuice made $172,000. So very little going on in the box office, obviously, but there's a slight pulse there.
Good.
Convicted rapist Harvey Weinstein. We're going to start with him. Is broke and will likely die in prison if he stays there.
That's terrible news.
His lawyer said Friday at a hearing over whether he should be freed on bail pending an appeal of his conviction. According to his lawyer, Weinstein's physical and mental condition has so deteriorated, he said, I do not think it's an overstatement to say that if he is not released as part of this application, his chances of surviving prison are rather low. The defendant is almost blind, and he's not ambulatory, and he is on 20 medications.
So this is one of those things. Suddenly they become blind when they go to jail.
Same thing with Bill. Right?
Suddenly they have walkers with tennis balls on the legs.
His conditions reportedly include diabetic retinopathy, coronary artery disease, and spinal stenosis, or pressure on his back nerves, which causes a dragging foot.
Could any of that have been a result of his obese?
Good
150 pounds.
Yeah, the diabetes, definitely.
Yeah.
So the producer...
He's probably getting better medical care now than he was getting when he was out.
Who is serving a 23-year sentence at Wendy Correctional Facility was not on the call. His lawyers are asking that he be released on $2 million bail pending the outcome of his appeal. They've not yet filed the appeal. If the bail is approved, Weinstein would have to post another $5 million to stay out because he has also been charged with 11 counts of rape and assault in connection to two attacks on five women in Los Angeles. While his lawyer said he is not a man of any means at this point, he has no money, but he said that friends of his can put up the money. Manhattan's district attorney Joan Orban had mocked the claim that Weinstein is broke and helpless. She said, basically, the time he stands to do on the L.A. case is serial killer time. She said, referring to the fact that Weinstein faces as much as 135 years on the charges. She said he is a man of extraordinary means, more so than any defendant I've ever prosecuted.
All right, so if it's 135 years, would you agree, would you allow this scenario? Peel off 35 years, but he's got to share a cell with Joe Exotic.
Which, oh, my God, what a couple they would make. That'd be beautiful. Chadwick Boseman died without a will, but he was sure to protect his wife financially before he passed of terminal cancer. According to TMZ, Boseman's wife, Taylor Simone Ledward, has filed probate documents in which she asked to be named administrator of Boseman's estate. Taylor had to file documents in probate court since the actor did not leave a will. That's pretty wild that he wouldn't have,
the financial advisor.
Having some type of structure.
It is, you don't, it's not the kind of thing you want to think about, but it's an incredibly important thing, especially in this case for the people that you would leave behind, you know.
So, since he died without a will and without children, she will inherit all the assets.
Right.
Case, which makes sense. And according to documents, she gets nearly $1 million in personal property and assets. I think that's before everything is hashed out, because I got to believe he had more than $1 million.
I would have to think.
Chrissy Teigen is speaking out for the first time after losing her pregnancy. She had written about her and John Legend, "We are quiet, but we are okay." She wrote on Instagram, "Love you all so much." She had also shared a screen grab of tweets from Legend, including one in which she shared a link to his performance of Never Break at the Billboard Music Awards. And this, I guess he had said, "This is for Chrissy." Yeah, he wrote, adding, "I love and cherish you and your family so much. We've experienced the highest highs and lowest lows together. Watching you carry our children has been so moving and humbling." He continued by saying, "I wrote this song because I have faith that as long as we walk the earth, we will hold each other's hands through every tear, every up and down, through every test. We promised each other this on our wedding day 7 years ago. And every challenge we faced has made that promise more powerful, more resilient. Our love will remain. We will never break." They have two kids together, Luna, who's 4, and Miles, who is 2. So they're repairing.
Yes.
They're trying to.
Understandably so.
Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are signaling a new era with their first non-royal portrait since they stepped down from their senior royal duties, observers say.
Oh, full frontal?
No. It's like the Two Virgins album with John and Yoko. Yeah.
Could you imagine? What am I looking at?
Yes. They have completely distanced themselves from the crown, and they're going for it, man. Critics and supporters were quick to dissect every detail from their poses to the price of everything that they wore. The photos released Friday by Time magazine to advertise a special Time 100 talk that they will lead on October 20th. Dubbed Engineering a Better World, the talk also features Reddit co-founder Alexis Onion, Rappler CEO Maria Ressa, and the host of podcast Teenager Therapy. According to the Daily Mail, she wore a $6,500 Cartier bracelet and $23,000 Cartier watch that belonged to Harry's late mother, Princess Diana. She also wore a $2,800 Alexander McQueen suit.
So here's Preston. Here's the picture up in the studio that you were referencing. The
Two Virgins.
Yeah, Two Virgins. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine Harry and Meghan?
Alexander, let's see here. Harry also wore a dark suit and white shirt. His choice to go tie-free and their smiling, relaxed vibe. The black and white hue all signal the more relaxed California lifestyle.
Look, I'm not wearing a tie, and we have a generally relaxed hue.
That they're apparently embracing.
We're living on the edge, aren't we? You've noticed the subtle hues.
The hue.
In the photograph, very subtle and non-royal, mm-hmm. the particular hues we've selected.
Nick, can you scroll down? Yeah, they do look pretty relaxed. It's a nice photo.
So I'm waiting casual. Until he's taken a dump in a bucket. That's when we know they've really cast everything.
Wow.
Hold it still, Megan. I don't want to miss.
This is pretty wild. Former Home Improvement star Zachary Ty Bryan was arrested Friday night at his home in Eugene, Oregon, after allegedly strangling a woman who is said to be his girlfriend.
This didn't come as a shock to me because he's had abusive allegations put against him over the years.
Okay. He's the oldest brother?
Brian played Brad Taylor, the eldest son to Tim Taylor. So, okay. Yeah, he was the older son, the blonde one.
Do they reference the other charges from years ago, Preston?
Not in this story, no. Police reportedly arrested Brian in his home after he and his girlfriend got into an argument that turned physical and he started to strangle her. The woman then called authorities after she escaped. And they arrested a 39-year-old on account of strangulation, fourth-degree assault, and interfering with making a report. He is currently in the Lane County Jail. The spokesperson for the police department said an investigation found that during the dispute, Brian is reported to have assaulted the victim, impeded her breathing, and taken the victim's phone from her when she tried to call 911. Wow. When was the last time that guy worked, Nick?
I don't know. I was looking for the previous charges, and I can't find anything, Steve, so I don't know.
I remember years ago, maybe they settled it, but I remember his name had popped up associated with something abusive with a girlfriend or wife. Yeah. Probably her girlfriend.
So I guess he's been out of the acting world for a while.
2008, he was in one of the Fast and Furious movies. He was in Tokyo Drift in 2006. And
Home Improvement?
Then he was in a movie called Trunk. In 2008, but it does not look like he's worked much in the acting world since then.
Wow. Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton are getting back together for a great cause, the velour leisure suit.
Thank you.
Yes. Hilton was synonymous with the look in the early aughts when she was Kim's boss.
I think we all had velour leisure suits at that time, right?
And she wore juicy couture tracksuits seemingly everywhere.
It's on your thing.
My rich aunt bought my son, when he was born, a velour leisure suit. And I don't know what it cost, but it was Louis Vuitton or something.
In hopes that he would join Prince's backup band?
Steve, you know, Ben was probably like 4 or 5 months old when she bought it. It was for a 4 or 5 month old baby. And so he wore it once, maybe.
Sure, how much was it?
I don't know. Yeah. Like $1,000. Who the hell? You know, she's like, Susan, I love you, but what the hell?
Just give me a check.
Hey, good news. Ben's in Morris Day and the Time.
Right?
God, I loved those. I hope they come back.
Really?
Yes, they were so comfortable.
Okay. Why don't you sit right here while I put on something a little bit more comfortable, like a velour leisure suit.
This time around, okay, now tell me, is this a thing? So it says here the Luke is being launched. It's a look, but they're spelling it L-E-W-K. The Luke.
On. I'm launching a new line called the Shovel, which I use to hit anyone who says the Luke.
Has been launched for the Skims brand, Kim's.
It's a personal look, signature look. So, like, her signature look.
That's Luke. What they call a Luke.
Her signature look.
I took the word and made it different.
So, The pair introduced the line in...
They're not clothing, they're clothing.
In paparazzi-style shots with flip phones.
Ooh, flip phones.
Louis, are those... Are they? Is that
they're coming right? back.
Oh, shit.
Flip phone? I loved my flip phone.
Now, there's two types of flip phones. There is the complete retro flip phone, a la the Star Trek communicator.
Like my dad uses.
Right. And then there is the flip phone, which is the foldable phone.
Yeah, I've seen some people go to the dumb phone approach, that they don't want to be on a smartphone anymore, and so they get a flip phone in order to limit their time on
it. You can't slam your phone down when you're angry anymore.
Yeah.
Because you can break it. So with the flip phone, you close it. You're like, ugh. Clap. Done.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Ah. Clap. So wait a minute, Steve. The foldable phone, is it a smartphone? Does it have apps?
Oh, yeah, it's a smartphone. So there are Galaxies right now that have them. They actually fold. The screen is such that it can fold. It's thicker. They need to get it thin. And then it'll be a viable
thing.
Then
it'll be okay, yeah.
So
I'd be happy with that. Something that's smaller that would fit in my pocket
would
be cool, but still have the capabilities of a large screen. And
right now it's not that. It's a little too thick.
I like the flip phone because you couldn't pocket dial somebody.
Yeah. No, it's cool also because to me as a Star Trek fan, it was exactly, you know, what you were looking for.
Yeah. Well, if Preston ever calls me, I'm like, it's probably a pocket dial. I don't know if you know. You pocket dial me a lot.
Really?
Yeah. So like you called me last week and I was like, should I call him back?
Do you ever listen? What's
usually it's
look
just
at these nipples.
No, you can't hear anything. It's like it's literally in his pocket.
Yeah, I am one man. Massive man.
That was me.
No, you and the owner of my hair salon pocket dial me all the time.
Okay.
Wow.
No,
yeah.
Had no idea. So anyhow, yeah, they had their paparazzi style shots with flip phones. Louis Vuitton monogram miroir Almas bags.
Oh, come
am
on.
I saying that?
Oh,
miroir.
Miroir.
And flowing velvet.
Look at that.
The line officially bows October 21st and will feature hoodies, bandeau tops. All right,
bandeau?
The hell's that? Oh,
it's just that, like, the tube top basically is what it is.
Oh.
So it's a tube top. But now it's a bandeau.
Honestly,
you have to add an O or an aw onto something
to make it better.
Yeah.
It's better now. Change the words.
Bandeau tops, crew neck tanks, wide leg pants, and joggers.
How many of these fashion names do you think come out of the simple fact that they don't know how to spell?
maybe they stumble across something like that. What are joggers?
Joggers are like it's kind of tighter at the ankle, but they're not like a legging. They're not skin tight.
Okay.
These are joggers.
Yeah.
Like, you honestly, go back to like traditional sweatpants with elastic in the ankles.
There you go. All right. So that's joggers. All right.
This does have a very retro look. We're looking at the pictures of them carrying their stuff.
They look good.
Those pocketbooks are huge, right? Those are not even pocketbooks. Those are, what do you call those? They're like super huge bags.
It's like an overnight bag.
Yeah. It looks like listen, Mary Poppins bag.
They're going complete opposite of what the last trend was, which was the tiny bags. Like it went.
The clutch.
I mean, even smaller than that. Like everything was little. Everybody had these big bags for a long time, and they were like, okay, well, what do we need all this stuff for? The bigger the bag, more stuff you're carrying. So it went little, so now they're trying to go back to the big.
Right. And it's funny because that's how fashion works. That is out. This is, or what are we using? Mm-hmm. Come on. And part of fashion is being able to tell someone, oh, that's not in anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It all comes down to, well, they know that they're in a position of trendsetting.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know.
Well, that's the thing. It's those people who like to set the trends that'll say, oh, God, no, I would never
wear
that
Kardashian,
again.
It's Paris Hilton, it's Gary Lauer. Those are the trendsetters. But we're in a band, though.
So
listen, the ripped up band tees.
Yeah.
Gary's got something going
there
on.
There you go.
Yeah. So Kim told Vogue.
You heard it here first. Kathy thinks Gary's hot.
Kim told Vogue of her fashion, after working on this for over a year, I am so excited to share with everyone.
You work on that for a year?
Velour is one of my favorite collection launches to date. It's the perfect blend of 2000s nostalgia and present-day loungewear.
Up next, Derelict.
That's what I was thinking, Steve. The Derelict.
Derelict, my ball.
So they are bringing it back. They're bringing back these velour tracksuits on. Yeah. Okay, I'm into it. I might buy one.
I think it was, we played the clip of Rodney Dangerfield. Yeah, we're browsers. That's from Easy Money.
Yeah.
They had what they called the regular guy look in that movie.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Similar to the Derelict. Not quite to the level of Derelict.
The regular guy look, yeah.
Hilton told the Mag, I'm living in sweatsuits right now.
Oh, man, that's great news.
The velour collection is perfect for looking hot while being comfy, she said. Meanwhile, and this speaks to what you were just saying, Steve, about Kim and what she can do. She was on David Letterman, with David Letterman on My Guest Needs No Introduction. That she said that ending Keeping Up with the Kardashians won't seriously impact her finances. She said, and I quote,
oh boy.
Realistically, we can post something on social media and make more than we do in a whole season.
She's right.
I mean, probably.
Yeah,
she's right. I mean, how many millions for Kim Kardashian on Instagram?
I don't know.
50, 30, 20?
As far
20?
As her, yeah, her yeah, followers, it's up there. Nick's going to look it up right now. 190.
Yep. 190 million yeah. followers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. All right, tongues were wagging as Bruce Willis popped up in a short teaser implying a possible return of John McClane. A 15-second teaser was posted on Twitter by his daughter Rumor that shows Bruce walking down a foggy Christmas-lit tree street to the sound of someone whistling, and the text reads, as one story ends, a new one begins, followed by an October 18, 2020 date and the hashtag Die Hard is back. Well, it turns out it was an ad for Die Hard batteries.
It's a freaking commercial.
Man. Although it did have some action-packed moments. It's a 2-full-minute commercial.
Yeah.
And there are a few nods to the Die Hard movies, including Bruce crawling through a vent and reuniting with his limousine driver, Argyle. The actor, Devereaux White, is in it.
Yeah.
Willis even beats someone over the head with a Die Hard battery. And also, there's another appearance, Clarence Gilliard Jr., who played one of the terrorists, is the African-American guy with the glasses.
Yep.
Who was also in Walker, Texas Ranger. And I'm assuming that's him. Everybody's older and a little bit bigger.
A little chunkier. Yeah, it's him sitting. So Preston,
it's got to be him in that.
He's sitting behind the table when he looks through the window.
Yeah,
that's
points
him.
At him. Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of fun.
It is.
But it's a
Die Hard commercial.
It's a battery commercial.
Didn't the last movie suck?
Oh, my God.
It was terrible.
Right?
Yeah.
It was
I didn't
awful.
Even see it.
And we saw it in the theater.
It was him with his son. Yeah. It was terrible.
My God. The power went out in the theater, probably 4/5 into the movie, and it never came back on, and I never cared to see how it ended.
It says a lot when you can have a massive helicopter-included firefight, and you're like, you're just, it's so much with no predicate for what's going on that you're like, this just sucks.
I actually enjoyed Die Hard with a Vengeance. There was something, you know, about that movie that I liked, the dynamic with him and Samuel L. Jackson.
That's
the
good.
Puzzle solving and, you know.
The first two, and even Die Hard, Live Free or Die Harder is actually not bad.
Right.
With either one that Kevin Smith is in. That was just terrible.
There has to be some level of believability, even in an unbelievable situation. Yeah. And in that last one, it was so ridiculous that you're just like, what am I doing here?
Well, they're forced to up the ante, but they don't realize you can as we were shown with the Marvel movies. So they have these huge explosive movies, and then they bring it back in for the Captain America movies and make it sort of a political intrigue thing, and it works. Just set the context and the parameters of what everything is happening in and play in that.
My son and
I... It doesn't have to be the end of the world every time.
Right. We had an hour-long conversation on Saturday about Endgame.
Yeah.
No. It was about Infinity War. And we were just talking, and I'm like, I can't believe we're actually having this conversation as if it really, really happened.
Right.
And we're like, okay. But I did come up with a better plan than Quill and Doctor Strange that would have thwarted everything. And we'll discuss it off air. Not right now.
Okay.
You can't get into it now. Preston's in the middle of celebrity news here. Go ahead, Preston.
Thank you. I'm sorry you even brought
guess
it up.
I have the floor now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I apologize for bringing that up.
No, it's all good. So there's no new Die Hard movie coming out, but there is a commercial if you want to see it. Mena Suvari is expecting a child with her husband, Michael Hope.
Is she part of the COVID secretive? You know, there's a whole thing now. A lot of people during the pandemic and during lockdown suddenly are having babies that we never heard about. Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I did reminisce a little bit with her. I went back and just to find the news story and found some photos of her, and I forgot how just beautiful she is.
She's a lovely girl.
She is a lovely girl.
She was in the American Pie.
That is correct.
And
yes.
American Beauty.
And American Beauty.
Yeah. And American History X.
I don't think she was in that
she
one.
She wasn't the bald dude?
No, she was not. Sorry, Reg. I know you see a lot, but...
I do, yeah. But I have glaucoma.
So she had written, let's see, it's still the process for me believing, or no, she was telling People Magazine, believing it and accepting that something this beautiful could happen for me. She said, it's been a very emotional experience. It's very weird finding out. I was like, I can't believe it. They got married in 2018.
Does she have hemorrhoids?
Oh, I don't know about that. A lot of women do get them when they're pregnant. They plan to grow their family, but were still surprised by the pregnancy, she said, as they've been trying with no result for some time.
Huh.
She said, at first I thought that I was just having jet lag because I'm really sensitive. But by the end of July, I had a couple other symptoms. I decided to take a test, and there it was. Huge surprise and absolute miracle. So they are expecting. This is very interesting. Matthew McConaughey has got a book out. He's making the rounds right now.
He
he's opening up about his life. The memoir is called Green Lights. In an interview for People, he revealed that his father, James Donald McConaughey, died how he wanted to. In bed with his wife, Kay, McConaughey said, I got a call from Mom. Your dad died. My knees buckled. I couldn't believe it. He was my dad. He said, nobody could kill him except Mom. He said, he'd always told me and my brothers, boys, when I go, I'm going to be making love to your mother. He said, that's what happened. He had a heart attack when he climaxed.
What? That's
this
it.
This is what Matthew McConaughey said.
Aren't those the two things you want to die spending everything you had, and you want to die at the point of climax?
Yeah, it'd be nice, right?
Yeah.
Why does he know this?
Like, because he always photographs it.
I know.
Yeah, but it sounds like...
Did he videotape them like I do?
I don't know. It sounds like they had an open dialogue in the family.
And besides that's cool to hear that.
Yeah.
As opposed to he was ripped apart by a grizzly bear.
That's not a bad thing. So the book is out, and he's doing interviews and sharing all kinds of personal information.
Have you seen the commercials? He does all the commercials for Lincoln.
Yeah.
Have you seen the one where he goes ice fishing?
Yeah.
Do you think Matthew McConaughey goes ice fishing?
Honestly,
he's an outdoorsman.
I totally believe that he does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just sits there.
He whistles Andy Griffith. Yep.
Yeah. He can do whatever he wants.
He's an interesting individual, no question.
Yeah, and he sits in the back with it open and has a thermos of coffee and waits to catch.
I don't even think they knew that they were filming a commercial.
Yeah, they just found him.
Yeah.
He slept inside a dead elk.
This is pretty wild. Tarzan star Ron Eli is and his family are challenging the Santa Barbara County DA in California after it ruled that the fatal shooting of his son Cameron is a justifiable homicide. In a news conference, his attorney, John Burris, said that he had never claimed to have a gun before police officers opened fire and that he surrendered with his hands up. An investigation had found that Cameron had stabbed his mother to death, by the way, and then was shot, and it says it does, and was shot outside of his father's home in Santa Barbara. He was shot with 24 rounds.
So I remember the story. He went obviously off the deep end, stabbed his mother to death. Ron Eli himself is in a wheelchair, correct?
That I don't know.
Okay, so I don't know any more about this, but that's the first I'm hearing that they're challenging that.
Yeah, so he said that he had his hands up, but he was shot 24 times. So they're challenging the DA because they had ruled it justifiable homicide. So we'll see if that goes anywhere. And then one last thing: the list of people begging Congress to intervene on behalf of movie theaters is growing continually. From the get-go, Directors Guild of America, the National Association of Theater Owners, and Motion Picture Association asked the federal government to intervene. Now more than 100 major forces, including John M. Chu, Patty Jenkins, Sly Stallone, and Taika Waititi, have joined the call. Meanwhile, House Majority Leader Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, or no, M- I don't know how to say
Mnuchin.
His name. Mnuchin. Thank you.
Mnuchin.
It's Bando, Preston.
are deadlocked on an aid package, which looks like it will be delayed until the presidential election.
I think this makes you sad because the movie theaters are sort of, you know, it's for the country, for the population. It's an activity. It's an escape. It's an essential thing. And there's so many jobs and so many first time jobs for people revolve around these things. They can't go away. There was a story out that Disney, you know, is putting a lot of their focus, obviously, as a lot of other movie companies are doing, into streaming releases. you know, not sure how all this is going to go, but I think we, a return to the theater is going to be inevitable.
It is, but right now they want they want aid from Congress.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They're trying to get that to happen. All right, so we're ready for clips. One Day at a Time is a reimagining of the classic series and follows a Cuban-American family as they deal with the trials and tribulations of life in the U.S. And in this clip, executive producer Norman Lear discusses what he feels the essence of is the essence of the show.
As you just recited all of the ingredients, the elements that are in this show, I was like hearing it for the first time in the sense that it awes me that the show is in essence about so much, and yet it simply comes off as family. It's so brilliantly written.
One Day at a Time airs tonight, 9 o'clock on CBS. Here's the next clip. Contestants answer trivia questions and race around a grocery store in the reboot of the classic game show Supermarket Sweep. In this clip, host Leslie Jones discusses the measures put in place to film during the pandemic.
You know, COVID brought a lot of changes to the way things are done now. So we got a big hangar out at Santa Monica Airport, and we just built a big grocery store inside, set it up where our crew could be safe, where the contestants can be safe. Everybody was in compliance. Everybody wore masks. It was absolutely great.
Yeah! Supermarket Sweep airs Sunday, so it was on last night.
I watched it last night.
Was it good?
Yeah, you know what? I was never a big fan of the show. It's okay, I did like it last night because there's something about running around the supermarket, you know? And I mean, like we did it. We did one of our events was at a supermarket.
Yep. Tried to do it.
And,
We got some people injured, but you know,
they had few dead people at the end of this one.
Liked the when they would go from item to item that had clues on what the next item was.
Yeah. And they had they had that last night.
That one was that was my favorite part.
I always thought I would be so good at this.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because also the pricing of stuff is also an essential part. That's part of like the let's make a deal aspect of it. It is a vigorous game, and they're running around, and it's pretty cool.
Even on The Price is Right, when they had, like, the different items inside, say, like, a pharmacy or a grocery store or something, I always did good with that as well.
Yeah, the actual retail price.
Yeah.
Kathy, you should just go into Target and pretend that you're on Supermarket Sweep and run around and try and put as many things in the cart as you can.
We should, when everything returns to normal, we should go in with a podium and have somebody in a suit with a microphone.
Just show up.
And go, okay, Kathy, is a... And
and just do it.
I wonder if people at the store would think, oh, this has to be condoned because it's not.
It's a game.
Yeah, they're obviously filming something here.
Supermarket Sweep, like I said, Sunday nights at 8 o'clock on ABC. And there you go. That's my report for today. Hey, we have a new Daily Rush video for you to take in. It is, the title is La-di-da-di-da-di-da. Ah, cheese!
I forget what that's about.
The description, well, I'll tell you here. The description says, Casey is learning to grill, but he forgot about the cheese.
Yes.
What had happened? I don't remember. I think you cheese! And it led right into that.
Well, listen, I don't know. It might have something to do with my Blackstone.
I think so, yes.
Okay. You're a grilling surface.
Yeah. Okay. You can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline, Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. All right, let's take a break. Michael Yo is going to be joining us. Hey, Yo.
Hey, Yo.
He'll be on around 9 o'clock today. So he's going to be at Punchline later on in the week, so we'll get some details, some other things going on as well. We'll be back in a moment.
We all got kind of hosed on that whole basketball bracket thing back in March. So we're bringing back the bracket with MMR's Rocktober Madness. Beginning today, listen as your favorite bands battle it out and you decide who wins. Starting with 64 bands split into four regions. The Air Pancake, Preston Steve, Jackson Sarah, and Jackie Brent. Matchups every weekday at 11:30 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. with Pierre and 3:30 and 5:30 with Jackson. And that's where you come in. Pull up the app or WMMR.com and vote for your favorite bands to move on or go home. It all comes down to one band, crowned champion of Rocktober Madness. Sponsored by Horizon Services.
Heating, cooling, plumbing, and indoor air quality.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Real quick, I want to mention that we're going to try to do this contest at some point this week called the Battle of the So-Called Experts.
I'm looking forward to this.
Or the Self-Proclaimed Experts. Me too. And I started to begin this, if we like this contest, wanted to start with people that had expertise in the area of the Rocky films.
Yes.
Got some great emails. Marissa went through.
Excellent.
And sorted a few out for me. So we're going to have some serious competitors if we do it this week.
Speaking of Rocky and Stallone, you've seen, I'm sure, the Step Brothers video.
No.
You haven't seen it?
No,
I thought I sent it to you.
No, what it's is all, it?
Somebody did deepfake of the classic exchange, John Stamos, the Randy
Jack.
Stallone is Schwarzenegger is Will Ferrell, and Stallone is John C. Reilly.
Yes.
And Preston, it's unbelievable.
I got it.
Call it up.
It just pulled it up.
It is insane.
Oh, my God.
And there's something about Stallone delivering the lines.
I love this deep fake stuff. Someday it's going to cause an international nightmare.
It will.
But right now it's hilarious.
Yes.
So.
When entire worlds, countries fall because of a fake video, that'll be bad. But for right now, Stallone is John C. Reilly.
That's outstanding.
That works. Yeah.
As soon as we're done with this segment, I'm going to go watch that. Oh, my God. All right. So anyhow, this should be a good battle that we have at some point this week. We'll let you know. I'm going to get the specifics together, but we will do that this week. I saw a couple of lists that have the Delaware Valley involved in them. They're either right here in the Philadelphia region or statewide, or it has to do with Pennsylvania. So that's all there is to it.
Is this Preston Elliott's Listomania?
Oh, my God.
That's what it is.
There's a song called Listomania, by the way.
I know.
My God. Yes, there is. Okay. It's not like that, but anyway, it's close enough.
No, I had three separate lists that involved our area that I thought were kind of interesting, and definitely rang true as I was on my way into work this morning. Actually, the past couple of weeks have been this way, but I'll explain in a moment.
All right.
According to the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, deer vehicle collisions have been on the rise since 1975. Accidents leveled off in recent years with an all-time high of 1.5 million deer vehicle collisions, causing $1 billion in damage in 2018. The accidents killed 200 motorists and injured 10,000 more each year.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So I saw 8 deer on the way in this morning in 3 separate groups.
I saw as well. I saw a deer and her babies. And you live a little bit further out where there's some farms and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
I'd see them every morning.
Mine was like right in Conshohocken. And
yeah,
they were
that's
just
pretty
right.
Wild.
And I saw the mom and I'm like, I always slow down because I'm like, there's other ones, around and just don't want them to dart out because it can be the accidents are.
It scares the crap out of you, especially if you've done. I used to go up to visit Claire's, my wife's family, up in Windham, New York, and there was a stretch of road there that was notorious for deer collisions. But this year, President, in fact, over the weekend, I was with some Claire, my wife and I were with another couple at their house, and they're right off of 476, and it was dusk, and their backyard was like a conga. The deer were literally with their paws on dun 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 dun. It was just crazy, and they said the numbers have increased exponentially, and I have a feeling a lot of that has to do with the fact that they weren't sort of being hit and killed because there have been less people commuting. Yeah. In other words, we talked about nature sort of reclaiming certain areas because of the lockdown. I'm sure that's part and parcel of this.
It is, I think, for me, inevitable. I will hit a deer at some point. I live too close to wooded areas and golf courses. I see them all the time.
And also, playing golf. And also your drive down to your shore house.
Yeah.
Do you see them a lot on the way?
Well, you just go through really rural areas.
Right,
It's inevitable,
But sometimes when I'm leaving for work, especially like if I'm taking my trash out in the morning.
Trash.
I get spooked all the time because we're okay. We're dealing with it, Kathy.
Steve had a family member that was killed.
Absolutely.
I can't believe you brought it up, Kathy.
Uncle Bezo.
But I'll have like a whole family of deer in my front yard at 4:30 in the morning, and they're all just kind of like hanging out there, leaving turds, eating whatever they eat in the front yard.
Just leaving turds, whatever.
So Pennsylvania ranked 3rd nationally, for most deer collisions. And so that's 1 in 52 drivers will hit a deer.
I've done it three times.
Three times, Nick.
Three times. Well, yeah. So once was on the way into work here. It was when I was back when I was living in Phoenixville. And once was in college. I went to school in a pretty rural part of the state. And it's terrifying. The one when I was in college, I was DD for the night, designated driver. And so it was my job to go get the older guys who were out at the bar drinking. And I used one of their cars to go pick them up. And so I was driving to go get them. And I hit a mama deer into a baby deer. And they both ran off the road. You know, I slammed them. But the point of the story is, whenever it happens, it's freaking terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
You're terrified.
You feel terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
It lives with you. It ruins not only your day but days afterwards. I had two non-lethal deer collisions.
Yeah.
You know, and the deers actually they, in both cases they went to a farm where they ran around with other deer. No,
yeah.
they,
that's great.
No, but it was so they were not lethal, but it still scares the F out of you.
Press. I am curious about that stretch of 47 347 down going through. That is the Pine Barrens, is it not?
I don't know.
Okay,
I'm not sure.
Because I've never seen a deer. Okay. I mean, all the times I've driven down
55?
That stretch.
I have
not 55. I'm talking about 47 347.
Yeah. Well, chances are, so when they're out is dusk and dawn. So just pre-dawn, they're starting to forage.
Yeah. Tony,
and same thing. Yeah. If you want to see the most of them, man, go out to Valley Forge.
Yes.
Right as the sun is setting, they're all over the place. It's wild.
Honestly, I will drop down to insanely low speeds if I'm driving along a road like, you know, where I know I've seen them before. And, of course, the rule of thumb is you see one cross the road. Don't follow that one with your eyes. Look to the other side because there's usually more on the way.
Yep, exactly. Hang on. listen to Bill here. Hey, Bill, you're on the air. Good morning.
Look what I just did.
What did you do, Bill?
I was coming to work. I didn't have you guys on yet. I hit a deer.
This morning?
I swear, yeah.
This morning. Wow, how bad?
Luckily, I was on the brakes hard enough. I heard it, you know, it hit. I have a pickup truck, so it didn't do any damage to my truck, luckily.
Okay.
But I'm sure I scared the deer.
Yeah, did you see it at all, run off?
No, it kept running, but it came across right in front of me. Like, it was moving.
Okay, all right.
Got to imagine.
It's scary, man.
I mean, they're obviously, you get something like a big buck, and they've got a lot of meat on them, but a collision with a truck going any sort of distance or a car. I happen to have a car. I forget what I was driving, but the hood sort of arced over slowly. So the deer literally did like a T.J. Hooker across the hood and slid off to the other side and literally ran off into the woods.
Yeah, the one that I hit was it was a split second. Like, I saw it at the last second, and then I didn't see it after that.
Yeah.
So I have no idea. I know it wasn't dead on the road. But
how hard is it? Go ahead.
But Rochelle has hit one too.
Okay.
Or she would say it hit her. It ran in at the side.
Yeah. No, it does happen.
Which is bizarre.
That happened with my parents one time. They were taking my son and my nephew out to Hershey Park, and on their way back, the deer ran into the side of the car.
Don't you almost get the impression that they're off to the side going, I can do this. I can do this. I got it. I don't got it.
One of the scary parts is when they get into the road, their hooves start to slip. You know, so that they're trying to gallop or bound or whatever to get across the road, and they're not used to being on asphalt, so like they don't have the traction that they're used to.
Remember my friend's story? He was on the turnpike, and a deer came and basically
crapped in the back seat of the car.
And so when he hit it, the deer's ass went through the back window.
That's right.
And he crapped all over the guy's car.
Wow. At least the deer got the last words.
That's good luck.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, you're supposed to spread that on your face, and
deer craps in your car, and then you spread it on your
face. You'll have a good crop.
So Pennsylvania was third nationally. Montana was second. 1 in 48 people will hit a deer. And the number one state in the country for deer collisions is West Virginia. And what's interesting is because you might think it's based on deer per square mile stats, but that's not the case. Mississippi actually has the highest deer density in the country. I had no idea. Mississippi, you don't think about deer.
That seems very weird.
But it barely cracked the top 10 for car accidents.
You're also talking about the amount of roads. You're talking about the kind of roads.
Well, here's the deal. Indiana has the fifth most deer per square mile, but is 23rd in deer vehicle collisions. West Virginia and Montana aren't in the top 10 for deer density, but claim the first and second deer accidents, and what matters is where people live. So for the top six states in deer vehicle collisions, More than half the population lives in a rural area. So that's what it is.
Oh, I guess that's it. Yeah.
Rural is defined by the United States Census Bureau as an area with less than 50,000 people. So there are only 15 states where 50% of the residents live in rural places, and over half of them are in the top 10 for deer collisions. And, of course, we're coming into the worst of it right now. October and November are where you will see the most deer accidents.
For a while, I had a car that had, it was an extra, you know, tech package thing, and there was a thermal readout. So you could, a thermal screen, like a la Predator.
Right.
So at nighttime, you could see it. By the time you would see anything, you would be colliding with it.
I would think so,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, I thought we would have been number one.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Pennsylvania's number three on this list. Hang on. Bryce wants to tell us about the mating habits of deer.
Ooh.
Hi, Bryce. You're on the air. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, bud?
You know, everybody always asks, who's Lou? But nobody ever asks, how's Lou?
Yeah,
you
that's know what? True.
Last time Casey talked to Lou, he was doing great.
How's Lou? Lou's great. He's always great. I don't know if Lou is ever bad.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear it.
All right. All right. So are we in rut yet?
Yeah, we're getting into it. It's going to be in, like, the next week or so. So as far as, like, the pandemic causing the increase in deer, I don't think that's the case, because this would have the mating season would have happened before that hit. I think it was the mild winter.
Okay.
My dad and I hunt, and if you ever talk to a park ranger, they'll tell you that they pull out every year. They pull out frozen dead deer every year out of the parks.
Are they frozen standing? Are they in place? Do they look like lawn decorations?
It can be a myriad of different placements. Some of them do get stuck frozen solid standing up.
You know, Bryce, it is weird, and we had this conversation a while ago, and we never think about that. We think that animals are supremely suited for outdoor life, but obviously some do freeze to death periodically.
Yeah, and Bryce, I have a question for you, because there's like a general rule of thumb when it comes to deer kittens, like the little baby deer. When they still have their white spots.
Are you talking about fawns?
Yeah, deer puppies. When they have their white spots, after a certain point, generally speaking, they're not going to be able to make it through the winter. And do you know when that is?
So they usually lose their spots kind of in the summertime, and that's when they'll really kind of be on their own. Like, they won't be milking, or they won't be breastfeeding, I guess, when they lose their spots. Yeah. So they usually lose those around summer. So they should be fine for the winter as long as nobody killed their mother.
Yeah. No, because I had heard that, like, maybe it's like, you know, if you see a deer with spots after Labor Day,
where deer get used to it.
Chances are that deer is not going to make it through the winter. So
is that's fair. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's probably not going to make it, but it's usually a food problem. Like, around here, there's just so little food. Deer are eating everything they can. Like, even if you go to a florist and say, like, hey, I want something that the deer won't eat, they'll eat it. Trust me.
It's deer candy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, they're all over the place. It doesn't matter. In this parking lot, you'll see them. We're in one Bala, and you'll see them, you know.
I saw a buck driving into the parking lot one time.
Buck was driving into the parking lot?
I was driving into the parking lot, and I saw a buck.
Listen, they're getting slaughtered on the roads.
They don't have
they
a
may as well
thumbs.
Get behind the wheel.
We have got to do something, dear population. We've got to learn how to drive.
He was struggling.
From Touchstone Pictures. Planet of the Deer.
Planet of the Deer. Oh, my God. They're not taking it anymore.
My name is Caesar, and I shall lead the deer population out of the woods and into the buildings.
They start by trimming their antlers so they can get in the vehicle.
They can be convincing.
Yeah, exactly. So,
is that some sort of birth defect? Pay no attention to that.
Oh, wait a second. Hey, we can answer a question. Hang on a second. Let me go to how's Lou?
Who's Lou?
It's Lou.
It's Lou.
Hey, Lou.
How are you doing, guys?
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Casey right. was right.
Who's always great?
We asked Bryce wanted to know how's Lou. So
tell Bryce Lou's good.
Hey, quick question, Lou. Have you ever gotten into a fist fight with a deer in an alley? I know you've gotten into.
No fist fights, but I have hit one on Brookhaven Road a few years ago.
Okay,
with your fist or your car?
I gave him a headbutt.
All right.
He was in the way.
Did it cause damage to your vehicle, Lou?
Yeah, it broke my side mirror and the windshield.
Okay.
Oh, man.
It can do, really, I mean, we actually, one year at the camp out for Hunger Press, you remember a girl was making a donation, showed up, and the front of her car was just crushed.
Yeah, she had hit it on the way.
Hit it on the way over to the camp out. Yeah.
Hey, Lou, have you ever been arrested the night before your wedding?
Yes, I have. It's funny you say that.
That's funny.
What was it? What was the charge?
The charge was drunk in public.
Okay.
But the funny thing is, I was living blocks away from the bar.
Okay. So he was walking home.
Did your buddies take you out home. Before? Did your buddies take you out before the big wedding? Is that what it was?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's what it was. Yeah. One of the bouncers kept coming up to us because we were doing shots and drinking. He's like, "You guys driving?" "No, I'm not driving." After the third time, I started getting aggravated. I said, "Look, bud, I live down the street. Leave us alone. I'm trying to have a good time." But when it was time to leave, he was mouthy. I got mouthy. And as we were going outside, we were walking across the street. My buddy forgot something in his car, so he runs across the street. He calls the cops. So me and my other buddy see the cops coming, so we run. Of course, the detectives coming up the street. They tackle us both. Knock us down to the ground, handcuff us. My other buddy gets grabbed. We go to the police station. They're not going to let us out till the bouncer is gone. They said, "You guys," so we didn't get out of jail till 3 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
This is before your wedding.
It was the night before your wedding.
It's the night. Now, listen to this. My wife said before I left, "No drunk driving. Don't leave the bar." I said, "We're not." Okay.
Oh, my God.
So she wakes up in the morning, walks by the table and sees 3 citations, and her heart drops.
Oh.
She's like, "No, no!" And then she looks and sees drunk in public and went back to sleep.
Another one of those. Oh, that's hilarious,
and
Lou.
The judge was pissed at the cop. The judge said to the cop, "Did he tell you where he lived? Well, did he show you his ID? Yeah. Did it not say it was 2 doors down from where you arrested him?" He got mad at the cop. He said, "You're wasting my time." He goes, "You have a good story to tell. You go away."
Did you invite him to the wedding?
What are you doing later?
Oh, my God. All right. Well, Lou, we're happy to hear you're doing well, okay?
I'll see you at Camp Out for Hunger. I'm going to stop by and see you.
Very nice.
Right. Awesome. All right. See you, Lou.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Glad we got that settled.
Doing well. How's Lou?
My God. How's Lou? I didn't even think about that. Well, listen, I promise you, listen, I know we're loaded with calls, and I knew that it would get that way once we started talking about hitting deer in Pennsylvania, because I think
everyone has a story.
Everybody's hitting
deer. There's actually a few deer have called in.
But I did tell you there were a couple of other lists that involve our area, and I found... What is this?
Listomania.
Listomania?
Yeah.
Okay. Let it go. All right. So if you are hoping to see a UFO in the U.S., there are some ideal places that you should buy a home. This is according to National Real Estate Marketplace called ISoldMyHouse.com. And they have revealed that Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, is the number one place in the country to spot a UFO.
Myrtle Beach?
Never would have guessed that.
No, because if you watch, and I do, I watch all the time Ancient Aliens, places like Arizona always come up.
Well, I'm about to blow your mind, Steve.
Blow away.
Followed up from Myrtle Beach is Columbus, Ohio, and then Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
No. Really?
According to this
Ancient list, Aliens never mentions Philadelphia.
The Southwest shows up in the top 10 list of cities to spot UFOs, and also with Houston, Texas, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Phoenix. So that's your area, Steve. Tucson as well. Mesa, Arizona also may make the list. The firm notes that each of the noted cities has had at least 27 reported UFO sightings, and that some have had more than 100. So, according to the number of sightings, Philly ranks up in
that. But is it actually the city or is it the area? Because, you know, in Bucks County, they're like forever seeing UFOs out there.
It says Philadelphia, so yeah, Cap.
It could be in the general area.
However, I don't know if they're taking liberties with it.
This, as per your previous list about the deer situation, where you have more people, you're going to have more spotting.
Right.
You know, more, and not in the menstrual way I'm talking about.
Yeah,
but you will have that too. Yeah. But But ultimately, that's going to occur, right? So, and by the way, simply seeing unidentified flying objects, our mind immediately jumps to Zorplatz and Bibor, you know,
right.
at the window.
This
of
doesn't mean aliens. This just mean unidentified
right.
object yeah. in the sky. So, essentially. But back in February, a separate research firm found that 61% of survey respondents said that they want the U.S. government to declassify the country's so-called X-Files, and 58% said that they believe the government actively investigates extraterrestrial life.
I saw a documentary. It was one that just came out, and it's actually, it's not a contrail conspiracy kind of thing, and I forget the name of it. It's making the rounds, and it really approaches all the recent data that's become available, and it's, again, it's not saying we are being, you know, that we're being visited by aliens, but there's a lot out there that is dramatically underexplained, and the government does have more information than we are aware of.
I told you, I watched this one documentary. This woman in Canada has, like, 20,000 feet of, like, film footage of these UFOs. You call them UFOs because that's what they are. They're unidentified flying objects. Now, she thinks that they're, you know,
alien. Yeah.
But it's really wild. And there's a couple of chilling parts in the movie. But, you know, that I don't remember the name of that one, but it's on Amazon Prime.
Okay. But I don't hear all of the reports that apparently this firm has found coming out of the Philadelphia region, I guess our general area.
It's always Bob Buki in the canoe.
Of UFO sightings. So,
whoever happened to Belzon?
Belzon!
Yeah, that's true.
Our Belzon great was intergalactic our emissary. Yeah. Worked closely with the show to make sure we were, attentive.
We'll be there with Belzon. That's what we would do. We bring our little alien buddy with us. Make sure you come out tonight. We'll be there with bells on.
We are smart.
I missed that little cutout, too.
Yeah.
Greg Monahan could do up another bells on.
I guess when we started cleaning things up around here.
Yeah. He got of course, the aliens out. Are the first to go.
That's true. Boy. All right, and then one other thing from my list. What was it called?
Listomania.
Listomania?
Listomania.
Okay.
Think less, but see it grow.
U.S. News and World Report released the list of the best places in the United States to retire for 2020 and 2021. I was absolutely amazed.
Were you gobsmacked?
I was kind of gobsmacked. Let me give you some of the other locations that tend to fall under what you would think as standard.
So, shall I guess?
Yeah.
Boca Raton? Florida?
No, but you're in the general area.
Yeah, so, Miami.
So Naples,
yeah.
Port St. Lucie, Fort Myers, Sarasota. Those are the top four.
Yes.
Okay, so those are all Florida. So it goes from top to down. It goes Sarasota number one, Fort Myers second, Port St. Lucie third, Naples fourth, fifth, Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
What?
I have a family friends who retired there, and here's why. It's a really cool town. It's a college town. FNM is
beautiful.
There. It's beautiful. It's really affordable. So if you're comparing real estate prices from like Philly areas or Philly suburbs to Lancaster, your dollar goes a lot farther. And they absolutely love living in Lancaster. And they specifically chose it as a retirement place because they could still be close to family, but they could their retirement funds would just go a lot farther.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it comes down to. So this
how much of a dramatic difference is it cost of living wise between say here and Lancaster?
These were family friends. So I grew up in Paoli, which is a nice town, right? And they sold their home in Paoli and bought a nicer, bigger home in Lancaster at like, I don't know, 60% of the cost.
A retirement home.
Essentially a retirement home. And they were able to then also cash in on the investment that they made in their house for however many years.
And now you're going to save on fuel because of your buggy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Plenty of Amish rides.
Yeah, but you got to feed those horses.
That's true.
That's not cheap.
That's fuel.
Yeah.
All right. So U.S. News and World Report says that of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, known for its spacious farms and Amish communities, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, about an hour west of Philadelphia, was the fifth best place to retire this year with a score of 7.4 in the retirement index. In 2018, Lancaster came in first place in U.S. News' retirement ranking.
I would never have thought that.
This year, Lancaster got top ranks in healthcare and housing affordability with a median home price of $215,000.
There you go.
So that's
pretty
got,
amazing.
That's got to be a big part of it. Being able to get a nice parcel of land and a really nice home for a hell of a lot less than most areas.
Then you add on the extra added benefit of horny Rumspringer participants, and you're good to go.
And how close are you to Hershey Park out that way?
You're always close, right?
Closer, yeah.
Yeah, you're closer.
It's
closer.
It's a nice town. The only thing about Lancaster that pisses me off is that when you're on the east side of Lancaster, you can hear MMR. On the west side of Lancaster, our signal fades out.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, the east side is where the Amish gangs.
No. It's like a dividing line. It's like there's a town in New Jersey, halfway Cranberry, New Jersey, halfway in between here and New York. And on the south side of Cranberry, New Jersey, you get MMR. On the north side, you don't. And I'm like,
it drives you crazy.
It really does. I mean, you know, you can listen via the app, but
I almost went to Lancaster, or at least Elizabethtown. That's pretty close to Lancaster, is it not?
Casey Boy Foster admitted on today's morning show that he almost went to Lancaster.
Well, you have to hear. No. This weekend.
This weekend.
Yes.
Sorry, I stand corrected.
Story update. This weekend.
Keep making fun. I'm about to blow your minds with really cool walking trail.
Listen, blow my mind, baby. Okay. Blow away.
So I became aware of this place called White Cliffs of Conway.
Never heard of it.
Oh, dude. So it's like a little less than 2 hours away, and I was looking at the map on Saturday. I was like, man, it's going to take me too long to get out there, and I had to, you know, do something with my daughter in the evening. But this... it's like just a quick little. You could
hop,
do like
skip
a, little,
and a jump.
Hop, skip, and a jump.
Cliffs of Conway. I'm writing this.
Conway,
down.
Conoy.
White.
Yeah. Take it. Look at
White
the
Cliffs of Conway.
Well, I mean, it sounds like it would be pretty. White Cliffs. You know, I think of the White Cliffs in
Dover
in England. Yeah. So
and it's.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're actual White Cliffs.
Yeah.
Actual White Cliffs.
And it's along a riverside.
Yeah.
Is it the Susquehanna there?
It's Mongahela. No, I don't know. Maybe
Lake
the Susquehanna?
Minnesota? It's got to be, right? Yeah. Also, Steve, Lititz is out by Lancaster, which is where
the Wolf Sanctuary.
Wolf Sanctuary is, yeah. So there's plenty of reasons to retire in Lancaster, PA, people.
All right.
Wolves and White Cliffs.
Yep. I think they still have a Fuddruckers out there.
Listen, Nat, where's your closest Fuddruckers? We'll set up our home there. They have both hamburgers and cupcakes.
Brownies.
I know they had cupcakes. I just thought that was an interesting jump in this list going
Lancaster.
All Florida.
You always admit, because also they're beholden to the inclement northeastern weather.
Sure. Yeah,
and you always figure you're retiring to more temperate areas.
Yep. Sarasota, Fort Myers, Port St. Lucie, Naples, and then Lancaster, PA.
Huh.
At number five.
Suck it, Florida.
hang on here. So Amy lives in Lancaster. Let's go to her. Hi, Amy. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Amy. How are you guys? Sorry to bother you at work.
No, okay. No. So what were you going to share with us?
So I grew up in the King of Prussia area, but I live in Lancaster County now. And the biggest reason is because there's no school taxes. They're insignificant compared to out in this part of the world.
Okay.
How are the schools?
They suck.
Yeah. I mean, you don't pay for them because they suck.
All my neighbors are Amish. They go to a one-room schoolhouse, so they have not, like, my
problem solved.
No, that's cool. So you must be on the side of town that gets MMR, right?
Yes, exactly. So we're on the very east side of Lancaster County.
All right.
So yes, we do get.
It is gorgeous out there. It really is.
How are the White Cliffs of Conoy?
I've never been, actually.
Oh, man.
Have you been to the Fuddruckers?
Just the cost of living, though, is so much cheaper, and so love it out that part of the world.
It's
very quiet.
Let's confirm or find out otherwise. Is there indeed a Fuddruckers in Lancaster?
You know, I've never been, so I can't.
Oh, you got to get out.
Not the White Cliffs, not Fuddruckers. You've been
you
living?
You don't know if it
get out of the basement. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Amy.
I think Connor pulled up the closest Fuddruckers to us right now, and... on the list, B, it looked like the number B.
Lancaster, PA, the number B.
Wow. Number B has us. Yes. That's like the Hall & Oates song, Your Fuddruckers is on my list.
Yeah, so Deer numbers kittens. B and C.
Okay.
Deer Kittens and
Deer Kittens and letter number, kittens number and letters B. Yeah. I'm going to go to Michael, who was at the White Cliffs of Conoy. Hi, Michael, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. All right, so tell us about those White Cliffs.
They're not as impressive as like the Cliffs of Dover. It's actually a dump site for a nearby quarry.
Wait, so it's a dump
for quarry.
So, and we looked at a picture of it. It looked less like cliffs than it did like dunes.
You walk all the way out there, and it's you're a like, dump. Oh my God, here. Oh, wow.
Behold the White Cliffs of Colorado.
Like, the area is still beautiful around it. And you get a good view from the top of them, but to call them cliffs is a little bit of a misnomer.
Yeah, okay. They don't look that big. It looks like maybe, you know, 40, 50 feet or something like that.
Well, there's a restaurant there listed as View on the Dumps, so you may want to take a look at that.
Okay.
Well, all right, so thank you for that heads up before people start hightailing it out to the dumps.
Thanks, Michael.
No, well, I mean, it's not trash. He said it's dumped for quarries, so it's going to be...
That's what's making it white.
It's honestly still worth the walk out there because you can get down into the river and looking back on it, it actually looks really cool.
Yeah. It's a dump.
It's white because it's a limestone.
All right. Thanks,
it's dumping limestone.
Yep. We're getting a lot of conflicting reports on the Fuddruckers.
Oh, do tell,
well,
please.
There, apparently there are two, or there were two, but one of them is closed.
Oh, no.
One is right near Dutch Wonderland.
Oh, I love Dutch Wonderland.
You've been?
I have.
Like three-year-olds, man.
Yeah.
Now, can I say this? It says I live in Lancaster County, but Lancaster City sucks donkey balls.
Oh, I don't think so. Lancaster City's really nice. F&M's a really gorgeous campus. I could see retiring there. Right?
It's near Dutch Wonderland.
Yes. It is, yeah.
I only said it because of the donkey balls. So.
F&M?
Well, that's when they serve it to Fuddruckers, donkey balls.
Yeah, good burgers.
Have you had the monkey balls? We got all kind of ball. What Paul's in the mood for today? Hey, just come back from the White Cliffs of Conroy?
I was just surprised to find this on the list. So that's according to U.S. News and World Report, and it's the list of the best places in the United States to retire for these times that we live in now.
Something to consider. Wow. Something to consider.
All right. That's my Listerama, Listomania. What is it? Listomania. All right. We're going to take a quick break and come back in just a moment. Some bizarre file stories from the weekend to share. Some really good stuff. If you have not been made aware of these freaky things that happened, we'll get to those when we return. Comedian Michael Yo on the program as well. Stay with us.
Hit up the WMMR.com contest page for your chance to win the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Homegate Kickoff Prize Pack, including a $100 Primo Hoagies gift card, a 4-pack of custom pint glasses, a case of Bud Light Platinum, and more. All delivered personally by members of the Preston and Steve Show. WMMR.com. Everything that rocks.
Let's dive into the world of the bizarre.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, I was waiting all weekend to pass this story along to you. I actually got it late in the week last week, but we'll start with this. A Michigan woman says she woke up to someone urinating on her while she was on a Delta flight home to Detroit from Las Vegas.
Man.
And that somebody happened to be a well-known pastor.
Hi.
Out of the Detroit area. Alicia Beverly said that the incident happened on Monday night on a red-eye flight.
Wouldn't have happened if I was on my own private jet. I warned you about these issues.
Jesse DuPlantis?
Absolutely.
Yep, it was him.
And I said to myself, Jesus, I need to piss on somebody now.
Alicia Beverly said the incident happened on a red-eye flight. She said most of the people on the plane were asleep at the time. She was sitting in the back of the plane next to her sister at the time of the alleged incident. She said, it felt warm, like on the side of me. I felt something warm. I jump up and I see his private out. And I was screaming, and that woke everybody up. By that time, I actually looked at him, and I see him shake himself off. And I'm like, this man just peed on me.
Consider yourself baptized.
I looked, and there was a puddle of pee in the seats.
So, it's such a brazen... Do you believe his excuse?
Maybe. So Beverly said an off-duty police officer was among those who heard her scream and woke up. She says that he restrained the man, whom he is identifying only as a well-known pastor from North Carolina. I thought he was from Detroit. The report says the pastor may have had a reaction to a sleep aid, which he took. Beverly said the man didn't say a word the entire time that he was standing next to her during the alleged incident. Maybe. We've heard that people have acted bizarre because of a medication
like
thing.
Like Ambien or something?
On an airplane. Yeah. And I can't see why someone would do that thinking that they could get away with it
without getting
into some serious trouble, especially if you are a community leader like a pastor.
Right.
So, yeah, I buy that it may have happened that way. So, the Beverly...
Could you imagine?
Beverly said she had to sit in her urine-soaked clothes for the rest of the flight. Aww. About three more hours before it landed at Detroit Metro Airport. Police did take the pastor into custody with possible charges pending. Then again, the dude might just be, you know, who knows?
Quick question. Yeah. Why couldn't they get... Well, she may not have had anything. She might have checked all her luggage. Yeah, I was just thinking that she had her luggage in the overhead. She could have changed into something.
Yeah, she was in Vegas. So,
right, yeah.
The FBI handles investigations into incidents alleged to have occurred on airplanes. So he's got to face the FBI. A Florida woman was arrested early Sunday morning after allegedly battering her 69-year-old boyfriend after he refused to perform oral sex on her.
What's wrong with me? You don't want to give me a little oral?
The sheriff's department was called to a home.
No.
In Largo, just west of Tampa, around 3 a.m. on Sunday, following a disturbance between Katanya Jordan and her longtime boyfriend.
Come on, you pushy. I got the spiders out of it.
The victim claimed that the two had been arguing about Jordan smoking crack when she began yelling at him and demanding he perform oral.
This is like an episode of The Bachelorette.
When he refused, she began hitting and scratching him, giving him several small lacerations which appeared to have been caused by fingernails. Jordan fled the house before police arrived and was found after a short search with the help of a canine unit. After she was apprehended, Jordan did not deny doing anything but claimed her boyfriend had choked her and she had acted in self-defense.
Do you know what the story needs? Lady in red, Preston.
You're right. We make it as romantic as it could possibly be. The woman was charged with felony domestic battery and grand theft for allegedly swiping the man's cell phone before she tried to flee.
That's grand theft?
I guess so.
Wow.
She is being held at Pinellas County Jail on $12,500 bond. Police say an angry customer at a KFC restaurant put innocent lives in danger because there was an issue with his order. Investigators say that the customer went through the drive-thru of a KFC on Wednesday and then went back to the restaurant minutes later because his order was wrong. Investigators say the man got out of his semi-truck that he was driving, walked up to the drive-thru window, demanded a refund. Surveillance video shows an employee giving the man his money back, but the customer was still upset, so he fired shots from his gun into the restaurant while driving away.
Uh-huh.
The bullet shattered a side window and penetrated several walls. Could have easily killed a bunch of people.
So he gets his money back. And he still shoots. He's still upset enough to discharge a weapon into the building.
He was hungry.
Yeah.
So no one was
You don't have enough salads.
No one was hit by gunfire. Noah Hingston, who lives in the area, said, I mean, that's just despicable. Mistakes happen. Accidents happen. You shouldn't take it to that level over some chicken. Investigators are still
No, wait a second.
Yeah, well, Mr. Simmons?
There's nuance here that we're missing.
Investigators are still looking for that customer. They posted pictures of him and the semi-truck he was driving on social media.
What kind of chicken?
All right, and then we'll do... It was Kentucky Fried Chicken. All right, we'll do one more story. An Italian woman who spiked her colleague's coffee for 9 months in hopes that she would be fired has been jailed for 4 years. Mariangela Serrato came up with the plan when she heard rumors about job cuts at the insurance company she worked for.
This is so diabolical.
She and her victim worked in similar roles. So Serrato put benzodiazepine powder into her co-worker's cappuccino when doing the daily coffee run for her team. So a lawyer said the drug induces fatigue, headaches, dizziness, and muscular pain. And he said, my client's work rate slowed after she drank the cappuccino. She was just trying to make her look bad at work so she'd get fired.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. The victim realized something was wrong when she drove into a tree on her way home from work.
So dosing, you had a story last week about some dude with semen and all that. So anything that's dosing is going to land you some heavy jail time.
Yep, exactly. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right, let's take a break and come back in a second, reminding you that Michael Yo is going to be at the Punchline patio show series that they're doing Friday and Saturday. And we will chat with him around 9 o'clock. We'll come back with some other stuff. Stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
A couple of quick follow-ups to do. One of them, Kathy's going to handle it, but I want to do this one first because somebody, this is from Joe Blay. Joe Blay. Anyhow, who was listening to the podcast when this topic came up, because Steve, you were talking about putting the mask on and smelling your own breath.
Yes.
So,
especially after you've eaten something.
Yes.
Pungent.
Joe said, if you can smell aroma through your mask, then it is still working. I guess one of us had asked if you could smell stuff. Is the mask working or
right.
not? The masks suggested are not for gas-carried particles. Viruses are carried on droplets of respiratory matter and won't make it through a mask. The majority of droplets are stopped by the person's mask before they get to you for the remainder to hopefully be stopped by yours. This is the reason you need to wash reusable masks often and sanitize your hands before and after removing your mask. He said, really surprised Dr. Mike didn't call him. Well, Dr. Mike sees patients as well.
Yeah, come on, he's got a life, for Christ's sake.
So anyhow, he says, stay safe and rock on. So that's a little bit of info.
Interesting.
Why you should clean your mask.
I don't.
And even if you can smell stuff, yes, your mask is working. It's the droplets that are coming out. All that spray, all that spit. Gary Lauer would be... You'd be spreading it all over the place if you didn't wear a mask.
Wait, speaking of masks, I wore one to Shady Brook Farm on Saturday. It was a beautiful day out. We went there and we stayed into the evening and, you know, they had the fire pits going and all of that. Well, I put the mask on to come into work today and I was like, oh, dear God. It was
smoky.
Like, oh, my God, so smoky. It was disgusting. It's like stuck in my nose right now.
Right. All right. Wash that mask and you'll be good to go. Now, the other follow-up is Kathy. We had a story on Friday. It was in the 7 o'clock hour that we talked about this. An old friend of Kathy's had posted something on Facebook and graphically told the story of his various sexual conquests back in high school. And when I mean graphically, I mean graphically. Bodily fluids, how many things went into certain holes.
As Steve said, there were loads everywhere.
Loads flying everywhere.
And he posted this lengthy
thing. More loading than an Amazon delivery dock.
And he posted it not just a declaration on his own timeline. He had posted to another person's photo.
Yes.
That had nothing to do with this.
Right. It was a comment on the photo.
Like a 9-page comment that included virtually every sexual encounter he'd had with this group of friends.
Yeah. Kathy's friend Peach Fuzz even called in with some information about it.
Right. The new nickname is Peach Fuzz because of the post.
Yes, because of the post. She has Peach Fuzz ass. So you actually talked to him.
Well, so we just messaged back and forth. But so I guess somebody alerted him that we had talked about it. And even though we didn't name names, obviously they knew who it was. And so he messaged me and he said that he wants to apologize for his stupidity. He said that he wanted to try to explain to me what the hell was going through his mind. He said he thought he was direct messaging her.
That's what we thought.
And he said, still, you know, inappropriate. He did not know that that was going out to the public. And then he says to me, and why can't I find this crap to delete it. And so I figured it out. The problem is the girl who he posted on her photo, she blocked him after he posted this. So now he can't go back and delete it, but it still lives on her page.
She didn't delete it.
I messaged her and said, why don't you take this down?
Right.
You know, again, because there's other people's names in there that he used. And, he apologizes for using first and last names and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But basically said, and so he said this is his first phone.
Oh, really?
His first phone ever?
That's what he said.
Landline and or cell phone?
Well, not landline, okay, but cell phone. I think that, so he's really new to all of this. So
wow.
He said, I didn't know that it was going out to everybody. I thought I was just messaging her, a friend of mine.
Huh.
Wow.
Well, maybe, get up to speed a little bit more before you start sending out stuff.
Yeah, so okay. He apologizes. Yeah. Yes.
So this is an official apology through you.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, he wanted to apologize.
For an early messenger, he needs to also learn that less is more.
Right.
Yeah. Like you don't need to write a novel. Yeah.
Gauge the interest first.
Yeah. Right.
By throwing a little bit of information out there. And then if you get feedback, like we're going to carry this on a little bit more, then you can go into, you know, how deep you went in and so on.
I think so.
If you need to pass that information.
Read the room, as they say.
So there you go. All right. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up was I saw this in passing on the news yesterday and didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. But now I have found out that we actually know one of the guys that was on this story. It was on 6ABC, a couple of guys from Abington. Two brothers who set a world record for the longest hot dog catch. So I saw these two guys wearing hot dog costumes.
Yes.
Okay. And so I saw the story and caught it and thought it was cute and everything. And I didn't realize we knew one of the guys. Marissa had sent over a link, or was it you, Nick, a link this morning?
Marissa sent the video, and then I was like, oh, wait, we know that guy.
Yeah, it was 15 seconds in. One of the guys is getting into his hot dog outfit, and he's wearing a Preston and Steve Blood Drive T-shirt.
Awesome.
So it was Matt and Ian McMillan. And so what they would do was they stood, I forgot, well, you know what? He's calling in right now. We'll get the details, but they had to throw the hot dog from one to the other, and the other one had to catch it in a bun.
Wow.
And if you do that successfully, then you have the longest toss. So he's actually on the line. He's called in right now. Yo, Matt, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're good. I didn't realize that was you and your brother.
That was us, yep.
Okay, so what is the record that you were shooting to break? What was the distance for the hot dog tossed or catch?
Yeah, so the current distance was 120 feet, and so that's what we needed to break, and we ended up actually throwing and catching one at 143 feet.
Oh, that's a substantial increase.
Shattered.
Yeah.
Wow.
We wanted to break it and have it stand for a decent amount of time, so we tried to go as far.
Yeah, why go for it if it's going to be immediately bested? So, and did you produce the video that we're watching?
No, so that was actually 6ABC showed up. They took a whole bunch of video and put together a nice little segment for us, and I'm putting together a separate video. We kind of lined it up as, is it possible to break a Guinness World Record with just one day of training?
So right.
That's kind of how we set up, and that's what we did.
Okay. Well, some great drone shots of the distance, so you can actually really get a good understanding of how far that hot dog traveled. But simply throwing it the distance is pretty formidable. Catching it in the bun, you know, is the other deal. How many failed attempts got you to the victory?
So that was actually our fifth attempt. The first couple attempts, I dropped a few, and then a couple others. My brother actually threw it so hard that the hot dog ripped in half.
If that would happen. I would think that you'd have to kind of cradle it, like you couldn't hold it by the end and throw it, because the hot dog would break.
We actually tried a couple different throwing methods. One was throwing it like a javelin. That didn't really work very well. One was kind of holding it like a baton and kind of whipping it, and that worked. But we found that if you actually hold the end with your finger, that actually flew the furthest.
Huh.
But you do risk the hot dog ripping in half, like we saw.
Were there any restrictions on whether or not you could sort of half freeze the hot dog to keep its structural integrity?
Yeah, so there are a ton of rules. There's about two pages of guidelines. It has to be a certain size, and the hot dog itself has to be cooked.
Okay.
We couldn't freeze it.
All right.
Okay.
Man, 47 yards or a little over 47 yards is how far you guys threw that. That's a decent throw.
That's a toss, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys picked a gorgeous day. I mean, it's nice weather for a hot dog toss.
It was great. We actually, so our one day of training was last Saturday, not this Saturday, but the Saturday before that. And I caught one around 160 feet then, and my brother actually threw one 175 feet. So we were hoping to go a little bit further, but we did have the wind at our back that day. So we're pretty satisfied with what we got.
As well you should be. So the trick is, I mean, you've done this. What other low training feats are you looking to accomplish?
We basically wanted to find a Guinness World Record that we thought we could break with no training. And there's another one. I think it's popping 200 balloons with a nail in as quick a time as you can. And the current record is 14 seconds. I've been eyeing that one up, so that might be the next one that I go.
Wow. Absolutely. Let us know when you're doing that. We want to at least cover it or at least something.
Well,
you
especially
know?
Because it's got audio to it.
Absolutely.
We could absolutely cover that live. You could do it in the morning.
That would be great.
If that seems like that might be feasible, let us know, okay?
Sure. Yeah, the one thing is it's quite a process to go through.
It is.
It took 12 weeks to actually submit an application, and then they send you the guidelines.
Wow.
And then, you know, we had to get tons of video evidence. We had 6 cameras set up. We had 2 still cameras. And so we have a ton of footage. And then we submit that. And then it's another 12 weeks for them to actually review and say, yes, you have the record, or no, you don't have
the record. Okay. So even just to attempt it, you have to go through all that stuff before you even actually try it. And they have to okay you giving it a shot.
Yep. So we actually submitted for this record back in May and heard, I think, in late July, early August. So then it took a little bit of planning to get everyone together. We had a land surveyor. You actually have to have a land surveyor come out and measure the gradient. So thank you to David Nowicki of Taylor Wiseman and Taylor for coming out and helping us out. Because you'd be surprised how expensive land surveying is. It was like putting like $1,000.
Jesus.
I'm like, I'm throwing a hot dog here. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I guess they want to make sure as much is in place to make sure that it's legit. We know for a fact we had a guy named Pipfrey come in here, and I don't know if the protocol was followed properly, but we saw him get, 1,500
body piercings.
It was
insane.
It was an insane amount.
And he never got the record.
Never got the record.
Because he didn't follow the proper procedures. It was so hard to watch.
Yeah.
It was disgusting.
Yeah. When he was removing it and all the blood was coming out, it was horrible.
That wasn't fun. Yeah. Hey, Matt, what's just a real quick refresher. How do we know you? Because you did the Thunderstruck video with the baby, right? And then you did, there was another thing with the show a few years back, right?
Yeah, you guys did the Bird Box Philly special we did.
Yeah,
with the Eagles. Yeah, that was us as well.
That was great. Yeah,
coincidentally on that, my brother was the one who threw the football, and he's also the one that threw the hot dog. So he has a little bit of experience throwing.
Yeah,
perfect. Perfect.
Go with the champ then. That's the guy to keep using.
All right. So so again, when do you think you'll find out if you guys officially got the record?
Yes, I'm still putting all the evidence together, hoping to submit this week, and then it'll be about mid-January, I think, will be the 12-week mark when they should be able to get back to us by.
Okay. Wow. Okay. We're looking at pictures of you right now through the years on our show at the Camp Out for Hunger. And
that's awesome.
Man. And being involved. So, all right. Well, good on you guys. And thanks for wearing the Preston and Steve Blood Drive shirt while you were doing that. It was really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. We're huge fans of the show.
Awesome. All right. Congratulations.
Yeah.
World record here in the Delaware Valley and the Philadelphia region for the longest hot dog catch.
Matt's a great follow on Instagram. He really puts together some impressive videos. It's Matt Mack Makes Stuff. Matt Mack Makes Stuff. And some of his posts are hilarious, and he does a lot of stuff with his family. But give him a follow. It's well worth it.
I talked about us, you know, someday I would like to see Casey break a world record. I think we could find one like this in the book somewhere. But I didn't know you had to go through all that.
No, it's even too much work.
Even before you attempt it.
I know. So you get swept up with the notion, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And then you have to submit paper and all this stuff, and it comes to a screeching halt. Wow. I think your enthusiasm has to diminish over that time. So you got to really commit to it.
I can throw a hot dog probably 48 yards.
Why do that one, though? Do something different.
Well, because
make it a canned ham.
Because I know that I can throw it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey, I got this email I wanted to pass along, if you guys don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
This isn't really a shout out. I will explain. So this is from, who is this from? Where is her name? Well, she just goes by Muggs.
Muggs?
Yeah. So it says, Dear Preston and Steve, It has taken me 9 years married to realize that anything that I want my husband to hear should actually be said on your show. Too many times to count, my husband has come home giddy and excited to tell me something he heard on Preston and Steve, only for me to recount a week prior that I, too, gave him that same information. Muggs, as he likes to call me, he would say, guess what I heard on the show today? Insert any pop news, political, general news, story, or basically anything at all. And then he says, isn't that crazy? And then I say, is this a joke? We talked about this last week, literally a 20-minute conversation. And then he would say, no, I definitely heard it on Preston and Steve. Now, for years, I have had one-way conversations due to his selective memory loss. And it doesn't just stop at news stories, though. Even conversations about schedules, the kids, or events are a miss with him. So, my only option is to come to you. I implore you both to help. And here are some messages he recently hasn't heard. Can you please get my messages through to my husband? They are as follow. And she just calls him Kay.
Yeah.
Hads has dance class every Monday and Friday afternoon.
Okay.
I do not want to sit for an hour in the car with the other five. If I am forced to, then wine better be waiting for me upon my return. Char hates pasta sauce. Don't let it touch her noodles and she won't get over it and she will cry endlessly and then I'll need wine. Our boy, well, he's just the best, and we should celebrate his awesomeness, so bring home some wine. And then finally, Laura didn't nap, discovered outlets, and learned the screams of her ancestors, the Banshees. If you don't have wine in hand, papers, my friend. Love, your wife, Muggs. I mean, Preston and Steve. P.S. Thank you guys much. Appreciated and cheers.
That's so great. Maybe he got it now, right?
Yeah. Well, hope. If he heard it on
the show. Yeah, yeah. He will today.
He will.
Bring some wine home.
So,
or papers.
She wanted to pass that information along. I love that.
That's great.
So, yeah. Here's a shout out, if you don't mind. This is a nice one. It says, good morning. Good morning, it Presbo. My friend.
That's not going away, by the way.
My friend Doug, who's an Ursinus graduate and notorious farter, his son just had a liver transplant a couple of weeks ago at CHOP. Since he has had numerous celebrities sending him well wishes, including folks from It's Always Sunny, Tina Fey, and even William Hung.
Wow, from the American Idol, what, season 3?
Yeah. This kid has gone through quite an ordeal. Can you please give Cade Hovey the full blast treatment shard out? He just had a liver transplant.
Yeah, Hovey. Right.
We can do that.
Hovey?
Yeah,
Hovey.
Well, you said Doug, and then you said Hovey. I'm like, well, that's Doug Hovey. I know him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or sinus guy.
Can you do the full blast,
oh,
please?
Yeah,
you
yeah,
got
yeah,
it.
Do that.
That's
right.
That's what he means. Yes. So if you wouldn't
Here
mind.
We go.
So,
yeah.
So that is from Steve Christie, by the way.
Oh, Doug. That's my fraternity brother.
God, you know everybody.
Well, I mean, I should know him.
Yeah, you should. He's your fraternity brother.
But he is older than me, like, by a lot.
He's older.
Yeah. He's like
much older.
Much older.
Yeah.
He's the federal accounts manager at Great GSK. Lakes GSK Vaccines. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Smart guy.
You're doing great. Mm.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Super guy.
all right. And then this one I got to do, and it comes with a photo, which I'm going to show you guys.
All right.
Casey, you just saw it, right?
Yes, I did.
It says, hey, Casey and Preston. So I guess they reached out to you and me. It's from Ray. It says, I wanted to request a shout out for my wife, Leah, and her friend, Jenna. They're both nurses at Cooper Hospital, and Jenna is getting married on Friday the 23rd.
Ah.
Yesterday, they had Jenna's bachelorette party with a small group of friends. My wife baked a big chocolate cake, or a BCC. The picture is attached, so I will show it to you guys here in the studio.
Nice. Oh, my God.
It
oh,
is wow. a large chocolate penis. That is a, that's well huge. Done, by
it
the
is.
Way.
Yeah, it absolutely. Is. Absolutely. Very authentic.
Yeah. And said, I'm a little concerned how realistic the hand-molded cake looks, but I'll give her a pass since she's a nurse and sees them all the time. Anyway, a shout-out to Jenna for her upcoming wedding and to my wife for her realistic hand-molded cakes. Would be awesome. You guys rock. That is from Ray. So if you don't mind to start out, that would be great. Thank you very much. And then let me do one more quick one. And then I got another thing I'll bring up. This says, hey, I'd like to request a shout out to my best friend, Sam. Him and his wonderful wife, Sarah, had their first child, Robert, last weekend. So that is from Trevor Bennington. So a quick shout out. Congratulations, guys. That's cool. Speaking of the world record, Pip Freak is on the phone line.
Oh, all right.
We haven't talked to Pip Freak in a long time. And remember, they had a baby named Pip Squeak?
Yes.
Which I thought was awesome.
Which is awesome, yeah.
Pip Freak, hey, man.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I've been much better.
You've been better. I'm sorry.
I 3 weeks ago, I put my hand into a table saw, and 2 days ago, we totaled my wife's car.
Oh, holy hell, man.
2020, right,
dude? Still trying to break records.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just another day.
So we had mentioned you and your attempted, your world record attempt of the most piercings and how that never, I mean, you did it, but you weren't acknowledged for it, unfortunately.
Not yet.
Oh. Do you think there's still a chance?
As long as the record hadn't been beaten or greater than mine, there is still a chance. The problem I have is my video is on what is considered archaic technology, and getting it transferred to a format that they will accept has become a little bit of a problem. I still have all of the documentation. I have a folder, all of the stuff you guys filled out for me,
right?
The stuff I filled out, the stuff I had notarized. I have stacks of these video discs, or tapes, for that matter, that tapes.
But you have all the stuff. If the only issue is converting it to an acceptable format, there are places all over the place that can dupe those over.
Well, I also I'm a hyper procrastinator. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
there you go. It's all your fault.
Yeah.
By the way,
this is all literally resting on me at this point, and a matter of literally having the time. Because when I say stacks of these tapes, they're also not labeled.
Oh, my God.
So, but you're saying if you put it together, if you get your ass together, as they say, and you get it done, you could actually secure that title.
The opportunity is actually still there. So all I wanted to actually call you guys and say it wasn't necessarily a documentation problem. Okay. It's a information transfer problem.
Hey, remind us how many piercings you had that morning.
It was 1,515 in exactly 4 hours.
Oh, 1,515. You could not even imagine what it looked like. I mean, you looked like an alien when it was done. I mean, you had these rows of needles. It was crazy.
Yeah, people still comment on the video to this day. I'll get people be like, oh, my God, I saw your video.
Dude,
like,
if you can get it wrapped up, you know, we'll have a celebration if you get the actual classification.
Well, that's the thing is, if I get it, my plan is to pay for the extra copy so you guys have one.
Ah, awesome.
Hey,
thank you.
What year was that, Pip Freak?
It's been over 10 years now.
Okay.
So it's been a while. It might be in the 13, 14 year mark at this point.
1,500 and what'd you say it was?
1,515.
Yeah.
1,515.
You know what? We're
Kathy,
looking,
watch. You love this footage.
No, thank you.
We're
no,
looking at
you.
The video of it right now, and I'm thinking, because when they started removing those needles and you're just bleeding all over the place, could you imagine if we asked to do that now?
Sure.
Like Bill, with there's
no way.
The idea of that much blood being poured in our
studio. We'd have to temper it by saying, "What, Bill, could we have a 50-gallon container of soup in the studio?
Yeah.
And then say, well, then could we do this? And they go, all right.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Yeah, well, lawyers always get in the way.
They do. But, wow, we're watching the footage. We forgot how amazing this was. You have to get it. You're the rightful owner of this title, and you have to make it legit.
We were your witnesses.
Yes.
Well, I am currently out of work because of my hand injury, so hopefully my cousin's going to help me out with this video transfer thing, and hopefully I'll be able to sit down and knock out this stack of video tapes.
How bad is your hand injury?
I still have all of my digits, but I shattered my pinky knuckle. It doesn't exist anymore. They're going to have to fuse that. And
any nerve damage?
A little bit. So the tips of my fingers don't have any feeling. I still have pins in it. It just happened 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
Pins are still in. I have a second surgery that I'm going to have to do.
Okay. How's Pip Squeak?
Oh, she's adorable. She's my little angel.
Okay. All right, well, at least you got
a bright spot. There you go.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for the heads up, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, take care, bud. We'll see you.
Take it easy, y'all.
Yep. All right. We'll have to repost that video because
it's pretty amazing.
Oh, my God. It's outrageous.
I hope that's on a format that he's talking about. I don't. Well, it's digital now. It's not on a
tape.
Yeah,
we're watching on these screens. It's here.
Well, we have edited. Yeah. They probably need the raw footage.
Every second of it.
That has to be submitted that way. All right, interesting. We got to take a break because we have Michael Yo. Hey, yo.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo.
He'll be joining us in a little bit.
Hey, yo.
He's going to be at Punchline in their patio series. But before we do that, I would like to give away a $50 gift certificate to one of my favorite places, Arnold's Family Fun Center.
Yeah.
It's in Oaks, PA. There's over 200,000 square feet of excitement. I'll take caller number 10 at 215-263-WMMR, and you get set up, and you'll be able to take in all the arcades, the go-karts, laser tag, mini-golf, bowling, and all that stuff.
Pudding pizza.
And it's this week's big friggin' deal, too.
Oh.
$50 gift certificate for just $25. You can get it while supplies last at WMMR.com if you use the keyword deal. So caller number 10, we will give you that $50 gift certificate for Arnold's. We're going to take a break and come back in just a moment. And yes, we will talk to Michael Young. Stay with us.
Acme Markets proudly supports Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger, beginning Monday, November 16th at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. More this year than most, we really need your help to make Camp Out a success. You can make a difference right now. Visit your local Acme during October and November and make a donation at the register when you check out. Acme will ensure your generous gift goes right to Phil Abundance to purchase food that's a lifeline for area families in need. Go to WMMR.com for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Camp Out for Hunger from Acme Markets and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Our next guest is ready to go. He's going to be in town on Friday and Saturday performing at Punchline. For the patio series that they do.
Yeah, they have a great setup out there.
We love when he has a chance to come by in here in the studio, but we certainly understand that is just not the case right now. Please welcome Michael Yo to the show. Yo, Michael.
What's going on? How are you?
Good, man. How you doing, bud?
Alive. That's good.
Yeah, it is, especially you had COVID early on in this year, or at least earlier on when this whole thing started happening. You got really sick, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I had the OG COVID. Like it was, I was one of the first people with COVID. Actually, I was the person. I was the first person in the hospital in LA with COVID.
Wow.
So that's how early I got.
Dude, I remember when I was reading about it. I'm like, this. So you know, obviously, a virus goes through different strains, and it starts to diminish as it gets out into the population. You got it piping hot right out of the oven.
Oh yeah. It was fresh. It was fresh and it was all over me.
Jeez.
Like it was crazy. It was crazy being in the hospital and the doctor looked at me and goes, "Hey, we're just trying everything. We don't even know."
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's terrifying.
Literally I was watching the news and everything they would say on the news, they would give to me like 30 minutes later. Hydroxychloroquine, they gave it to me for a day. The next day, malaria drug, they gave it to me for the whole time. It was crazy.
Why did you go to the hospital? Was it the breathing that made you go or what?
Oh, yeah. I couldn't breathe, and my wife called the ambulance. And this is a true story. My wife called 911. The operator, it was so new, the operator was like, get him out of the house. Put him in the front yard. So I'm laying in the front yard waiting on an ambulance. It was crazy. Now that I look, I mean, it's just so – I'm good friends with the doctor, and he tells me that, you know, the big thing, they didn't put me on the ventilator because that would have been lights out. So he was the one that saved my life. So we're like close friends now. So.
No, that's the same. Listen, my bestie is the doctor who saved my life with prostate cancer and everything. There's a bond that you can hardly, describe. But, yeah, they found out that the ventilators were actually exacerbating the issue. So he did save your life.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, the thing he's so honest about, he goes, you should see, it was me and 10 doctors. And you're our first case, and we're like, what do we do? What do we do? So they're just, you know, trying to make the best decisions. But at that time, they didn't know anything. So I'm just very lucky to be alive.
Yeah.
Well, hey, congratulations on the weight loss. I heard you lost 13 pounds.
Yeah.
Hey, no, actually, it was 15 pounds. Thank you very much.
Oh, hey.
Even better.
Thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's upsides.
That's like when you get a stomach virus and you drop weight. It's like, yeah, but man, I feel pretty good. You know?
But you know, my chin line is popping right now. It looks good.
Ah, there you go. And all you had to do was nearly die, and you get that great cut look. It's awesome.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I made it and I lost weight, so it's a double positive right there.
So you know, I there's a number of things to talk about with you, but I wanted to. I know a while ago on the Courtney and Khloe Take Miami, whatever the hell the show was.
Yeah.
You work with the Kardashians. You had at least on some. Is there a bit of a friendship that there now at this point, or what was that like?
Well, back then, I was very close to the Kardashians. You know, I shot that TV show with them, and I was their boss. Khloe did a radio show, a real radio show at the station I worked with in Miami, and she was really good. She did this Khloe After Dark, and she would do radio for like 3 hours from 11 to 2 a.m. Because she was so dirty, but she was really good on the radio. What? So I was very close to them. Now I don't really know them anymore. I don't talk to them anymore.
Well, even like at that point, so I mean, when we were trying to contextualize, you know, Preston was reporting earlier that Kim Kardashian was saying about that Keeping Up with the Kardashians, the show, really is not from a financial level that necessary, because they can, with their social media, you know, hit and make so much money off of that. Do you recall?
She said she could make one post on social media and make more money than the entire series does for a year.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have got to that point without the series.
Of course.
See, that's so fun. That's so funny about rich people. They forget how they get there. You know, it's,
yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, I can do anything. But without that show, it's amazing that that show came out, I believe, in 2007. And like just 13 years, but people all over the world know who those girls are.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say they hate on them, but they sell billions of dollars of like just whatever they endorse or whatever they put out, they sell. So people are buying it. That's what's crazy about it. So much hate for them, but then they make so much money off all the products. It's incredible.
I can't wait to buy their new velour suits.
Oh my God, stop. See, my wife buys those Kylie Jenner lip kits. I'm
me too.
No
that pisses me off, Michael, because again, and you know what I'm going to say here. God bless her, but she had lip fillers, surgical lip fillers, and these lip kits sold made her near billionaire, and it's all predicated on she had surgery. She didn't have that. She didn't use her own lip kit.
But the lip kit isn't to enhance to make big lips. It's just a lipstick. It's color. It's pretty.
Oh, whatever. I'm over it. I can't. And white women, stop making your lips so big. It looks ridiculous.
Oh my God! Right.
But you'll know this, Michael. You know, in the obviously you've done entertainment stuff and all that reporting. There is a certain look. We've talked about this before. When you're out when you're out in L.A., you're out in that TMZ bubble where what we think, oh, that looks really overdone. That's too much. Where that's the norm, and people from the outside look like the anomaly. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, can I tell you? What's crazy is when you look at all these Instagram people. Everyone's starting to look like a Kardashian. Like
yeah.
They're all starting to, and it's scary. The Kardashians are taking over the world, and women want the big lips. Now they want the big butts. It's like women want what they can't have, obviously.
Yeah,
you know. So and that's what's popular. Like what takes a lot of money to achieve. That's what women are doing to their bodies right now.
Michael, you mentioned the big white women wanting big lips. I saw a before and after picture of filler, like somebody, a woman getting filler in her lips. And I was like, I think it's backwards. Like it looked, the after looked terrible. Like the before, before she got the filler, it looked great.
Oh, yeah. It's like, and who are these doctors keep injecting your lips with stuff? Going, oh, this looks great. This looks beautiful. No, You look horrendous.
You look
Well, remember you, and we've known this, and they're like they're almost like star effer doctors. So that you know you find the doctor like look at the amount of propofol Michael Jackson was getting. You know, there's no prescription, there's no medical condition that would warrant that amount, and yet they find people.
Yeah, that's the problem with celebrities. They find all yes men. And when that happens, they can't do no wrong. That's how they get into trouble, and that's how they lose their money, and that's how they lose their career. So if I ever make it that big, I'm putting nothing but no men around me.
Right, or else you'll die. Well, I want to ask you now, obviously, you had your COVID thing, and you know, one of the lucky first recipients. but you're out, you know, doing some touring and stuff. How's that been going?
You know what? It's been great. I just did Phoenix, and that was, we did over 1,000 people, but wow. It was socially distanced. The club was huge. This, what I love about Philly is it's way, like, they're really going above and beyond to keep everybody safe. It's outside. It's, you know, people are separated. They can wear masks. So I really like the Philly setup. But everywhere I'm going, people want to laugh, and people are coming out. You know, some markets are better than others. But
yeah.
I'm just trying to put together a new hour, so because it's all new material you're going to hear. So I'm putting together a new hour because I want to shoot it in the middle of next year.
How difficult is that? When I mean, because it used to be obviously you put together something, you're going to shoot a special, and you work it. You're working in the clubs and you fine tune it and hone it. You know, there's not as much access to the right.
Literally, you'll start a joke and then a month later you're like, okay, I get to work on it again. You know, where before before you could work on it 3 to 4 times a week, but now it's like, but my last show was like 2 weeks ago and now I have one this week. So it's been 3 weeks and then I have one 2 weeks after that. I got another one in December. And then after that, I don't, you know, we'll see how all this ends up. But, you know, it's,
well, let me ask you,
crazy times.
Do you have, because I know sometimes like script writers will have, they have like their go-to. I'm going to bounce this off this guy because I know he hears my voice when I write, or she hears, you know, what they're going for. Do you have a group of guys or other comedians you can say, give me the honest on this. Is this worth anything?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I bring a guy named Joe Larson. He's actually opening up for me. He's a phenomenal comedian, and he's from New York City, so he's just going to drive down. But he's the guy I take everywhere, and this guy named Nick Guerra, where I can sit in a room, and we'll talk hours after a show about their set, about my set. And it's just, that's all you need is somebody to bounce something off of. And they'll be like, yo, that sucks, or hey, that's pretty good, and maybe you should think about this. So you know what I mean? It's good to have those type of people around you.
Yeah, it's also because at a certain point, it's your livelihood. So if they're going to BS you and send you up on stage with something that's going to suck,
it's true. It's true because really, they're very important, and you're very important to them because it works both ways. Like a lot of times when you're in a relationship with a comic like that, they're helping you out, but you're helping them out by getting them in clubs that they haven't performed in, and so hopefully the manager will see them, and they'll be like, oh, let me book this guy on his own.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's you know, you one thing I remember Kevin Hart told me, this was like 2 years ago when I started to take off and tour a lot. He goes, never bring somebody on the road that's just hanging out. Always bring somebody that can help you in some way, either sell your merch or,
right.
you know, a great person to bounce off. Don't have just people to come just because they're cool people, you know, so I really took that to heart because I was bringing like 2 or 3 guys and we would just hang out and the work would get done, you know, so at the end of the weekend, I would have the same material that I had all year. But now it's like my material changes every week because I have the right team to bounce stuff off of. So
that's good.
I'm excited to perform this new stuff. Yeah.
Nice. Hey, Michael, I want to ask you, switch gears. I want to ask you something about your name, Michael Yo, because at the beginning of the interview, I said, hey, everybody, welcome Michael Yo. And then I said, yo, Michael. And then
yeah.
I didn't even realize it until after I said that. Was growing up, was Yo a nickname for you? Did people just shorten it to Yo?
Everybody just called me Yo growing up. Yeah, it was, you know, my mom, it's my mom's name.
Uh-huh.
So my mom is like, because of me, you're famous. Because there's no Yo, nobody. You know? That's great. Like my mom is ruthless like that. I didn't tell you though, but I gave my mom COVID too.
She was oh my god!
And she beat it in one day, and she talks trash to me all the time.
Dude, that's got
you're
that
in hospital 8 days, hospital 1 day.
Oh my god!
You're weak, boy. You're so weak, boy.
Yeah, oh that's well. That so my wife's family got it. You know, they for most it was presented like as a regular virus, but my sister-in-law had it for a couple of days, and my brother-in-law, her husband, had it for like he lost a little bit of his sense of smell for like a day and a half, 2 days, and of course he lords it over her because that's you know you got to do that.
Oh yeah. Oh, my mom still talks crap to me.
Yeah.
And it's been 6 months. She will bring it up all the time. You need to eat more kimchi.
Well, there might be something to that. They say that there could be something diet-wise or environmental-wise, you know, that is the case. In that part of the world, it hasn't been as formidable as it has for the rest of the world. So who knows? Maybe she knows this.
Listen to your mother.
A cottage industry, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mama Yo's COVID treatment.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Eat cabbage that's just rotten. That's the key to COVID. Oh, rotten cabbage.
That's right.
With hot sauce.
All right. Well, Michael, we're going to point people in the direction of your show. You
Thank
got a couple
guys.
Of them. Yeah, no problem. Friday and Saturday night, two shows each night, 7 and 9:15. And you can get the tickets through punchlinephilly.com, which is cool.
And I just want to say, I really love you guys. You guys always support me, and your people always come out. So I really appreciate it, and it means a lot.
Absolutely, man. And we'll see you in person sometime soon. All right, bud?
Yes, absolutely. Y'all have a great one.
You too, man. Michael, yo!
Yeah!
Hey, yo!
Hey, yo!
Right. Those tickets are on sale now. Hey, something I meant to get to last week, but I didn't get a chance to touch on it.
Oh, Australia blew up.
This is so cool. No, Australia did not blow up.
Oh, okay.
But it was announced that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, two of the figures from that 1964 stop-motion film are going to be up for auction.
Yeah, those are legitimate keepsakes worth owning.
They're heirlooms.
Yeah.
Auction House Profiles in History announced last week that a 6-inch tall Rudolph and 11-inch tall Santa used to animate the show are being sold together in the auction, and it starts on November 13th.
And I believe it's Fat Santa, right? Because he gets beefier throughout the special.
I saw a picture of it, and I think that's the one of their...
Eat, Santa, eat!
That they are going to auction off. They're expected to bring in between $150,000 and $250,000.
Jeez.
Man.
So that's Rankin Bass. They're the ones that animated that. It was, 1964?
I thought it was 64. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, wow, that's been a part of my life forever. And I can only imagine they'll continue to appreciate. They never don't air that during the holiday season.
So they were owned at the time by nephew of the secretary to Arthur Rank Jr. So that's where they're coming from.
Jeez.
They are made of wood, wire, cloth, and leather.
And human skin.
And Rudolph's nose still lights up.
Does it?
Yep.
After all this time? I just love to see, you know, it actually light up.
By the way, collector Peter Lutrario, who is selling them, bought them some 15 years ago after seeing them appraised on Antiques Roadshow.
Now, you know, the Rudolph's nose, to make it light up, you have to run cables out to a car battery and they rev the engine.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how they used to do it.
Because they didn't have the technology, the fiber optics and stuff like that.
That'd be really cool to own that. I mean, what would you do with it, though? I mean, you can get replicas that are just, you know, as fond.
I know.
You,
I mean, that's an investment. That's something that you hold on to and then resell. And then you find like a deserving like children's hospital and really hit him hard.
They should put him in a museum. It belongs in a museum.
Yeah,
so do you.
But they should put those in a museum. They should actually be in the Smithsonian.
Send Indian to get it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing that's going up for sale. Guinness World Records said the sale of, or actually went up for sale, of a plastic crown worn by the late Notorious B.I.G. during an iconic photo shoot.
Yeah.
Set a new world record. It sold for $600,000.
Oh, my God.
At auction. Yeah.
After he was killed, do you know who took ownership of it? It was B. Arthur.
No.
Yeah, she bought it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, a Notorious B. Arthur.
What was her character's name on...
She was Dorothy.
Dorothy?
No. Dorothy was...
Yeah.
She was Dorothy.
Okay. Yeah.
And Maud on Maud.
The rapper, also known as Biggie Smalls, of course, wore the plastic crown back in 1997 during a King of New York photo shoot for Rap Pages magazine. A photo snapped by Baron Claiborne during the shoot became one of the most famous images of the performer. Sotheby's predicted the crown would sell for $200,000 to $300,000. They always go for way more than they predict, right?
They do. I think what happens is that that's part of the structuring process where they set an expectation and then people go in ready to pay more.
Yeah, it broke the record upon selling for $594,750. It's officially the most expensive, what they call fancy dress / costume crown, sold at auction.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and it, plastic crown for that much.
I don't know anything from Notorious B.I.G.
Remember when you called me Big Papa? You know that one.
No, case I don't.
Biggie, biggie, biggie.
I left my heart.
He wears a hypnotized me.
No.
Okay.
But anyway, plenty of people do, obviously. He was one of the legends. And
you know the song that, wasn't it, P. Diddy did it, right?
Yeah, well, biggie, biggie. What they want from me is like the more money you come across, the more problems we see. You know that one, right?
Yeah, yeah. Sing along, everybody.
P-O-P-P-A, no info for the DEA, federal agents, mad because I'm flagrant.
Wow.
I'm like a mad rapper.
Yeah, yo. Unbelievable. Yes, yo.
You spit mad verse.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got a good voice.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, that was nice. I enjoyed that.
Biggie, biggie, like, biggie guy.
That was all like end of high school, beginning of college.
Yeah, mid-college for me. I'm a little bit older.
That's when you were playing Parcheesi at that party.
Oh,
what,
yeah.
What was the most, like, hardcore street piece of music that you liked?
NWA and Two Live Crew.
Okay.
Yeah, because my friend Brett, when rap started crossing into the white suburbs.
Right.
And people started paying attention to it at Conestoga High School, which is not very hood.
No?
No. But we would drive around and we'd listen to NWA and Two Live Crew, and it was the filthiest lyrics I'd ever heard in my life.
Two Live Crew was...
Oh, my God.
Was, when you're talking about warning stickers, that was, you know, that's...
Yeah, but the warning stickers were obviously had the opposite
that
effect.
That was the enticement.
Yeah, right. We would tune
oh,
in.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just... it was naughty, you know, and so we would listen to it. But listen, it's the foundation of hip-hop and rap today.
Yeah, when Two Live Crew hit, I just found it funny.
Yeah,
it cracked me.
It almost
up.
Seemed like novelty. Like
it was.
Like,
it was so dirty.
Like the streak. It was like it was intentionally meant to make you laugh.
Yeah. So all right. So Biggie,
we miss you, man.
Had he been alive,
why don't you pour out some of your Dunkachino?
One for my homie. You know what? I realized I'm in the junk drawer.
Oh, really?
I didn't even know it, but I'm in the junk drawer. I'm digging around.
Sometimes you just fall into it. It's so enormous.
Yes, it is.
It's like a ball pit.
So this is for you, Steve.
Oh, man. I love things for me.
Fancy Feast has made an advent calendar for cats.
I love it.
I do. You know, they love Fancy Feast, but they love
this.
A specific two flavors.
Mm.
And that's it.
This is like a nightmare. So my cats have decided they don't like the food that we've been feeding them since the day they were born.
Right.
Oh my God.
And they will do that. They will suddenly shift and walk away.
Oh, my God. Completely.
And now you have to begin the process of finding what they do. Now, they will obviously not starve themselves
right.
to death.
Right.
But you're looking for something that...
Steve, so that's
we've gone through it. And we've had anywhere between, you know, 9 and, you know, 11 cats for the past decade plus. And it becomes a nightmare.
Well, I'm in that process of testing out different foods,
right.
And they'll be starving,
right?
Like standing at the cabinet waiting for their food. I go over, put it in their dish. Both of them smell it and walk away. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, aren't you hungry?
Right. It's going to stay there. So, but they'll go, they'll eat it eventually. Do they have dry as well?
So I do a little bit of dry food, but mostly I'm trying to stick with the wet food because, I don't know, my vet said it's healthier. But Preston, Fancy Feast is like, I just bought that at Target the other day to try that to see if they like it.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Steve, it's specific. They don't like anything. If it says chicken on the package anywhere, they won't eat it. So I have to get like the tuna and the fish. And
turkey and cheddar is the flavor that they, and so I have one, I take one can, divide it into three. I mean, I have tons of pictures and footage of my, it looks like a herd of cats descending on the kitchen when I start putting this stuff out, and they go nuts for it. If I put out any other flavor, no, absolutely no interest whatsoever.
I feel like this is exactly like what the gangster rappers talk about.
When,
yeah.
when they do.
Yeah. 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 Like Notorious B.I.G.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jump in the Rover and come over. Tell your friends jump in the GF3. I got the chronic by the truth.
They were talking about
Let me ask you.
Yeah,
if he was still alive, would he be doing ads for Peloton?
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player. So for honeys, get your money playing, looking like dummies.
Okay, so... You guys probably won't want to buy this advent calendar.
Well, I don't know. I have to try 19 different foods to see if they'll eat, so it might be good for me.
I would buy it. Yes, it might be good for a sampler. Yeah. I would buy it and just put the same flavor in every one of the days.
So it includes, here's what it has in
it.
Okay. Play that.
24 cans of cat food with different recipes for each day
like grilled salmon, turkey and giblets feast, and chicken savory centers.
See, this would be good for me to try to, it'd be a sampler for them.
And you know what they don't eat? You can have or give to some of your grandparents.
Right. Chicken savory centers? What's, I don't get what the savory centers part is.
You know
what
it is? It's rat meat.
Is that like the chewels of cat food? Like they have the...
It's got a little nugget in the middle?
Yeah, the crunchy outside. Yes. And the...
It's a
Clams
Casino.
Yeah. I know what those are. They're like little...
They're like a little snack, right, for them?
Yeah.
Snack.
Yeah, they're snacks.
Yeah.
They were more like a treat. It got to the point where one of my cats, when he was nearing the end of his life and he was really, really picky about what he was eating, he would only eat those. He would only eat the really yummy treat stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So we were feeding that as the main meal.
This is a constant battle with my wife and I over the greenies, the treats.
Uh-huh.
I mean, your most ardent, addicted crack addict is relaxed compared to the way my cats are for those freaking things. Unbelievable.
So what's the is there a contention between you and Claire?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
She wants to feed them more?
You give them too many treats.
Oh, you do. Okay.
And I'm like, I will not be shamed by my cats.
In a press release, Fancy Feast said there's a different festive entree flavor for each day. The advent calendar is being sold online by Chewy, PetSmart, Kroger, and will be available at other retailers.
Oh,
you think about other countries where they routinely sit down to a dinner of dirt.
Right.
Looking at our Fancy Feast advent calendar.
We're talking about our cat's advent calendar.
Is there any more dirt, Mother?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Meanwhile, you guys are serving your cats, having a party.
Jump in the Rover and come over, tell your friends, jump
got
in the
your soundtrack going.
I got the chronic by the tree. Yeah.
My cat behind the turntables.
This actually reminds me, 100% of being at a house party. The guy that we talked about last week, who wrote the comment on Facebook.
Giving handies, dropping loads.
Right, exactly. I mean, in his house, partying. This was blasting in the living room.
That's that part of the lyrics, isn't it?
Yeah, there was something blasting in the living room, Kathy.
There were other things blasting, too.
Finger blasting in the...
Yeah.
Blasting in the boot with your fuzzy ass.
This was me and my buddy Reggie's Plymouth Horizon listening to it on the tape deck.
Dude, we were in a white Ford Taurus.
Yeah.
White on the outside, white on the inside.
Was there ever a war between the Run and Away club and
the Jumpers and club?
Like drive-bys, Preston, where they would throw acorns at each other?
Pine cones at each other.
Pine cones versus crab apples. That's
straight out of Compton.
Yeah. You guys ever have crab apple fights?
Oh, yeah. They hurt.
This is railing.
Sitting out on your front porch listening to this where your head's bobbing. Here comes the Just Running Away Club.
Yes, I did have crab apple fights.
Every Saturday, rap attack, Mr. Magic.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
All right. Well, anyway, it all comes together. All these stories are coming together. What else can I...
Like a mosaic, like a tapestry.
Can I throw one at you, Preston? I don't know if you saw this or not, but there was a missing woman in Zion.
Oh, yeah, that's in here.
Yeah.
It's in here.
They found her yesterday. And
Nick, have you been peeking in his junk drawer?
A 38-year-old woman. Yeah, she'd been missing for 12 days.
No.
And here's the thing. They found her. There's no details on
why she
was missing. Initially, they had found her car abandoned, and so you think the worst, right?
Had she just lost her job? Was that the deal?
All I know is that other people in the park saw her, and then they told someone else. They told the rangers, and they ended up getting her out of there. So no details on why she did that. Now, she's got a family and everything. She's got a daughter.
Was she just camping?
They don't know. And there's a lot of mystery shrouding this, but there was a post last night that Zion put on their Instagram account, and I saw it, and it was just a black and white news press release type of a post, and it said the missing person was found. But initially, they didn't say if she was found dead or alive. And so my heart sank when I saw the post, and I was like, oh, God, this can't be good news. Yeah. But it turns out she is alive. She's been reunited with her family. But how she went missing and how she got lost, that part of it, we don't know.
We do know that it was a housekeeper named Alice who found her.
No.
So, yeah.
Oh, they were calling her name as they were going through the, the canyon and... they ended up
finding her.
Finding her, which
she apparently
amazing,
had packed some pork and beans into a flashlight.
Bobby! It's so big there. Yeah. And,
Cindy!
Yeah.
Bobby!
She goes by both names. Her name is Bobby Cindy. She's a southern gal.
Bobby Cindy. Her name is Bobby Cindy Holly Cordier, by the way.
Bobby, Cindy.
Bobby,
oh, my God.
Cindy.
What a great Bobby, idea. Cindy. Name your kids. You know, oh, my God. That's, I love it. You know, like Peter Jan.
Yeah, Peter Jan.
And
Greg Marsha.
Yeah. Greg Marsha.
Mike Carroll.
For this search and rescue, though, they brought in search crews from the Grand Canyon, Steve, but from Bryce, from Lake Powell. Like, they were search and rescue from all over southern Utah and northern Arizona.
So when they find a person like this, is this person responsible for any of the costs that went into searching for them?
Dude, I was thinking sometimes, the same thing. Yeah.
Sometimes. Now, mind you, I did read that one of the possibilities is that she suffered some sort of mental breakdown and went into the woods because of that. But they'll find out what the story is. I think the best way to get someone out of a mental depression is to charge them a whopping bill for their rescue.
Nick, how much did they charge you when you had your injury and search and rescue had to come and get you?
Yeah, that was Alpine Search and Rescue. Unfortunately, insurance covered most of it, and I did not have to have a helicopter ride, and that's where the costs really skyrocketed.
You were actually carried out by some Girl Scouts.
Yeah. And they gave me some cookies and they had pigtails.
Bobby,
it cost several $1,000s.
Nick is in his absolutely rugged like outfit with the whole thing, and there's a Girl Scout.
I'd already been emasculated enough. Yeah. They're like, nah, send in the Girl Scouts.
They make a litter.
My fears
out of,
that
out
I've
of branches and carry you.
Guys, my fears I've reactivated my Madonna dancing injury.
Did you have to pay anything out of pocket?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, a couple thousand was what came out of your pocket?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, before they would agree to pick you up and take you out.
No, Alpine Search and Rescue, those guys are incredible, and the work that they did was amazing. And so the people that were looking for this woman for 12 days, 12 days to go missing, and then for them to find her is pretty freaking astounding.
To survive, especially, listen, it's not viciously inclement now, but it's still, it's rough.
It's 2 weeks in the middle of nowhere in the wild. I think that's pretty hard.
Maybe she was adopted by a bear family.
When I like did my my like walking through the Zion and the Bryce and Grand Canyon, I had this guy Nicholas Smith. He was my trail guide.
Yes,
and yes, we hired him, but he does this stuff.
Oh, rescue stuff?
Yeah, because he's a
he knows
he's like a repeller and a rock climber and stuff like that. So oftentimes he will repel down to rescue people and stuff like that. He actually himself fell 100 feet.
Right.
And there's video of it, too. He fell 100 feet. He just, he done something wrong.
He probably missed. Was it on that cliffside?
Yeah. It was a slot canyon. So it was called, I believe it's called, the Soap.
100 feet.
So, yeah. Dude. And
fortunately, he landed on other campers.
He should have died, but he didn't. Yeah. And there's video footage of it because he was running a one of those GoPros and stuff.
Well, if the fall doesn't kill you, you can die of starvation or running out of water. I mean, that's the danger. Yeah.
Embarrassment.
Embarrassment, the Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
My name's Susie.
No, I'm interested to see what the story was. Yeah, because for 12 days, she had to have had some provisions, I would think.
As when you go
and
hiking.
I'm wondering how cold it gets this time of year. This time of year is fairly mild there. Because it gets super hot in the summertime.
Well, Nick, I know you do the hiking extensively, and you guys have started to do a bit of it. Do you when you see a marker, do you keep a reference of where that marker is? If you're
far on a trail,
yeah,
most definitely, and just to get an idea of what color trail we're on, and if I see another one, where we're branching off from, and try to remember that.
It's so easy to get lost. Cause I was in Acadia this summer with my son Ben, and we were following the trail, but then you just get to talking, and we made a left instead of making a right, and went straight, and we ended up not on the trail, and we ended up taking sort of like the left cut through, but it wasn't the official trail, and then eventually the trail looped back to where we were or whatever, and we figured it out. But for a stretch we were off of it, and if we'd gone in the wrong direction off of the wrong direction, that's when you end up in a lot of trouble.
There is a movie, and I forget the name of it, where a guy takes his girlfriend into the woods. He's going to propose to her. He's kind of a pretty accomplished hiker, and so they've gone out on a few of these. And he's going to take her to a special spot, and they get lost on this trail. And so not only that, but it ends up in one of the most graphic bear attacks.
Yeah, there's a great book called The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon by Stephen King, and it's a lesser-known book, but it's the description of what happens when you make several wrong turns and end up lost in the woods. And it's really well-written, King. It's not as well-known book by Stephen King, but it's well worth the read.
Well, this is an interesting story that is to do with a hiking trail. This is in South Nyack. I guess, yeah.
Or maybe just stapled out to the last story.
I think that's what I'm doing. Yeah. So it takes place along the Raymond Esposito Memorial Trail. And I guess there's a historical marker that has a QR code on it.
Raymond Esposito invented Tupperware.
Oh, okay. Wow. Good to know. But anyhow, they have interactive signs. And so there's a QR code. And if you're out hiking on the trail, I guess you can find out some historical information. But somebody rigged it. So when you do the QR code, it's you get Rickrolled. It sends you to the Rick Astley video.
Which is out in the middle of nowhere.
And they don't know how it happened.
Oh, wow.
They don't know who did it. And they're investigating it. So I thought that's pretty classic if you're out in the middle of this trail and you want to get some info on where you are, and all of a sudden you hear this get stuck in your head.
Now, does Rick Astley himself come to rescue you?
I would hope so. Yeah. Some guy in a trench coat and sunglasses.
What a dancer that Rick Astley was.
What a mover.
You know, have you, like, if I do, if I, my wife is now getting into the hiking a little bit more, which is cool. But if we start doing, as you're doing, Nick, more elaborate stuff, a sat phone investment might be a cool idea. Because their prices are coming down on those.
Are they?
Yeah. Cause
yeah, it's, sat phone or like any type of GPS locator or whatever. Just a...
How much is a sat phone?
I don't even know.
A couple hundred bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay.
You should have something, a locator to let EMTs know where you are if you're going to go off the grid.
Okay. I always walk with a hot air balloon tethered to my neck.
Right. Smart. Yeah. Yeah. That's smart. All right. So if you have a sat phone, then like, do you have to have a plan that goes along with it, or is
I don't know.
Yeah. Because when I was in the Grand Canyon, there was a one couple that did have a sat phone, and people who were like our hosts or whatever, they had a satellite phone as well, but I just don't know how that works. I say hosts, but what are they? Guides.
Guides.
Jesus.
How about a satellite fax machine?
I was just thinking about, there was a parody ad when the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks was out, and it was, I forgot what it was for, but it shows him showing up at the woman's house at the very end. He's like, I'm a FedEx delivering. This box saved my life. The box he never opened.
Yeah.
And, wow, thanks. What was in it? By the way, what was in it? They opened up. Oh, there's a sat phone, GPS locator.
Fire starter.
Yeah, straw for, the clean water. Yeah.
A year's supply of beef jerky. Yeah.
Dental glue.
Some painkillers just in case you get, I don't know, mouth ache or something like that.
Dental kit. Yeah.
Antibiotic.
Filler kit.
And a book on how to build a canoe.
Loved it. This was interesting. Not quite a story of survival like we had last, but it would scare. Now we can go back and.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, this one's not stapled. So let me see if I can find this. I thought this was kind of interesting. This took place in Baltimore. They were testing equipment in the harbor tunnel on Friday.
Yes.
And apparently water started flowing into the tunnel.
Oh, my God. No. That's like my worst nightmare.
Can you imagine you're driving through and all of a sudden you start.
No, she's
going through
being in Baltimore.
a lot of people's. But all of a sudden, you start going through big puddles of water while you're down in the tunnel.
No.
It would be terrifying.
What was that Stallone movie, Daylight, right?
That's what that was.
Right,
Yep. The Maryland.
Getting over wet down here. this is Kathy's worst nightmare.
The Maryland Transportation Authority said
the Maryland Transportation Authority.
The harbor tunnel's pump and fan systems valve.
God.
Was being tested.
That's the last thing you want to see.
And equipment supplies water. The equipment that supplies water to the fire department in case of emergencies, and it was inadvertently open. So it wasn't from the harbor.
Okay.
It was just water that they used for fire. Yeah. But people were seeing these big. Look at this. This is a picture of it flowing in from the wall.
Oh,
that is terrifying.
I will die.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's a little bit of water.
No, it's a lot. And imagine if, traffic, all of a sudden you get a backup and you're in there and...
I would get out and start running.
Yeah.
Forget it. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And if you look in the left lane and there's a trout...
Yeah. They had inadvertently opened it and it was allowing water to flow into the tunnel.
Well, they always, when they build those tunnels, isn't it standard procedure they build a parallel tunnel? That is the dirt removal tunnel. Mm. And then I think eventually they will keep that as a service tunnel. I think that's a standard protocol with any of these major tunnels that have been built. There's always a parallel tunnel.
Might be. I'll tell you what, Baltimore, driving through there, going through the tunnel, or even on some of those overpasses are really high in the air. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, going in and out of the city of Baltimore. where I've been, I get a little freaked out driving.
Do you?
There.
Yeah. When you see a luggage plane come passing by you.
That flies behind the
passenger
plane. Yeah,
that flies behind the regular passenger plane.
Carries their luggage. When crews realized that the valve was open, they took steps to close the valve.
Close the valve.
And stop the flow of water.
Stop the flow of water.
And there was no safety issue and no malfunction, apparently, according to them. All right. I was waiting to see if this caller was, like, actually driving through the tunnel or something like
or
that.
Or owns a tunnel.
Yeah, here we go. Oh. No, let me go to Ian. Hi, Ian. Good morning.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. What's up, buddy?
My friend, she was actually driving through the tunnel right as it happened, and she sent me a picture, freaking out, thinking that the tunnel was actually flooding.
I had to have scared the hell out of her.
Yeah, it did. I mean, she texted me, and she said, I don't know if we're going to get out of here, because traffic was slowing to a crawl.
Oh, my God.
And she was freaking out. She was bugging.
So, wow. But yet the signal got out. I guess it got out of the tunnel. That's pretty miraculous.
Yeah, but she sent me a picture, and the water, like how high her truck sits, the water had to be at least a foot high.
Wow.
Okay.
God, man, you'd be scared crapless. All right, Ian. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, bud. Yep. All right, we'll see you later.
You guys have a good day.
You too, man. All right. Anyhow, we need to, we're done now with the junk drawer. So here's the new official junk drawer music. So with that, we're going to take a break. That's all I have in the junk drawer for now. We're going to come back in a moment, though, and I have some more bizarre file stories. As always, weird stuff happens over the weekend,
yes.
And we've got some goodies to pass along to you. So stay put. We'll be back in a moment.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger begins Monday, November 16th at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. You heard correctly. The event is a little earlier than usual. This difficult year has made it even harder for area families staring food insecurity right in its face, which makes the Camp Out Business Challenge more important than ever. Props to Subaru of America for leading the way, challenging other area companies to get involved. It's effective team building for your staff as they rally together to help fill abundance in their mission to drive hunger from our communities today and end hunger for good. For those who go the extra mile, there are prizes for the top three business challenge donations, including Preston and Steve broadcasting live from your place and for your staff. Go to WMMR.com for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger from 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Let's do another run at this.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we're going to begin with this one. This is a good one to start with. The smuggler was caught with 2 pounds of gold worth about $80,000 in his butt after customs officers spotted his unusual walk at an airport.
How much gold?
In India, 2 pounds.
2 pounds of gold in his ass?
Yep.
I use the technical terms.
The man was traveling on a Go Air flight from Dubai into Kerala's Kunar Airport and had hidden the stash of gold inside his own body.
May I have another sheet, please? My butt is full of gold.
To avoid paying the 18% tax.
Wow.
It's believed that he had been walking awkwardly and was stopped and checked as a result, where the gold was discovered by officials.
I mean, what if you were wearing 2 pounds of gold? Like, if you were to have that smelted into a necklace of some sort, then do you have to pay taxes on that?
I think so. You know, like in the classic Goldfinger, he had a car shipped where some of the parts were molded, where he melted down and made part of the car so he could smuggle it through.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do. I mean, if you're wearing it, you're still bringing it, so I assume they would... Yeah, hit you for the tax.
I don't know. Maybe it depends on where you purchased. Because the same thing. Whenever you're traveling internationally, they'll ask you if you have over $10,000 worth of cash or sometimes goods that you got in that country, I think.
Do you pay less if it's in your pee hole?
Yes, because who's going to charge you for going that length?
Yeah.
Police said another man on the same flight was stopped from trafficking 3.2 pounds of gold into India. However, they did not reveal how he concealed the precious metal.
That's stunning that even the human body can take that.
They were the latest in a number of seizures of gold being smuggled into the country from Arabic states. Customs officials said that most people try and bring the gold in by hiding it in chocolate boxes, purses, umbrellas, or other objects like pens. They also caught this month people with gold hidden in toothpaste and one person who had lined their underwear with the precious metal.
I would smuggle it inside a key of Coke.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. They might not even look for the gold at that point. Jair Bolsonaro's efforts to portray himself as an anti-corruption crusader have suffered another blow after police reportedly seized a wad of banknotes from between the clenched buttocks of one of his allies.
See a theme happening here.
This guy's going with cash in his ass.
Yeah.
Chico Rodriguez, the Brazilian president's deputy leader in the Senate, was reportedly caught with the concealed bundle on Wednesday during a police search of his home.
You can keep it.
The raid was part of an operation against the suspected misappropriation of public funds for fighting COVID-19. Two sources said more than $8,000 were stashed in the underpants of Rodriguez, a senator from the Amazon state of Roraima. And it was reported... in a report, it said, to give you a sense of just how preposterous the situation was, some of the recovered notes were stained with feces.
Yeah.
It was a second considerable embarrassment.
That pile there, you can keep those.
By the way, Brazilians shared the news under the viral hashtag Propina na Bunda, which means, translated to, a bribe up the butt.
So why wouldn't you, and this is, I assume, a standard practice, why wouldn't you put that in a plastic container, like a bag or something?
Or a money market account or something like that.
You're not going to get the kind of interest you'd get in your ass. Yeah.
Many suggested that the find would be remembered in the annals of history. A little Brazilian zing in there for you. All right, a man was arrested after police say he locked a woman out of her home and threw potatoes at her, despite being under a no-contact order. The incident unfolded on Wednesday.
You're a potato whore!
When officials were dispatched. As
potatoes.
As they arrived, the 21-year-old suspect saw the officers and then hid behind the fence and went into the house.
Potatoes, huh? Potatoes.
The victim told officers that the suspect was cursing, harassing her, and then threw a potato at her.
Potatoes.
But and yet he was
boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
He was throwing a superfood at her, though.
Boil them, mash them.
He hit her. He hit a pillar as she was walking back to her shed with the potato. Officers then went to the house and were able to locate the suspect. He was taken into custody. The suspect told officers he recently moved back into the house because he was sick and homeless.
Okay.
And thought the no-contact order was no longer active. He also denied throwing potatoes at the woman.
Well, we could see you throwing potatoes.
And said it was she who threw a potato to the ground.
Ah.
The suspect was booked, by the way. All right, one last story.
The old potato deflection.
In Nevada. Sheriff's office arrested a man after he was found living in the ceiling of a Raleigh's grocery store.
That's like ceiling cat.
35-year-old Matthew Hammer had fallen through the tile in the ceiling and had crawled back into the crawl space while employees were preparing to open the store just after 5. I like how the guy falls through and then climbs back in. Maybe they won't know.
I can do this better.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up some tricks on the way down.
Employees called authorities who surrounded the store. After a while, they got him to come outside. He was arrested for commercial burglary. Authorities said Hammer had been living in an area above the deli for the last couple of days and had been stealing food from the store. They say they found some of his property in the rafters.
There are a lot of people who opt to live in the ceilings of buildings, you know, and they're discovered often.
And so Hammer is homeless and has had run-ins with deputies in the past. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you. Let's take a break and give away another one of these Arnold's Family Fun Center. I got a $50 gift certificate to caller number 16 at 215-263-WMMR. Arnold's is in Oaks, PA, and they have 200,000 square feet of excitement. Largest arcade in the region. Go-karts, laser tag, mini-golf, bowling, and more. And it's also this week's big friggin' deal, a $50 gift certificate for just $25. Get it while supplies last. WMMR.com, keyword deal. The caller number 16. We give that to you for free. Back in just a moment. Stay there.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style.
whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Today is a Monday. It means we get our first letter for the word of the week. And we'll want you to keep track because we got five of them all together. And $300 Xfinity Live gift card is what we have in store for you this week. So don't miss the opportunity. Just got this note. We have a new Daily Rush video for you to check out.
Man, they're on like a conveyor belt these days.
Nick Murphy's been busting ass and getting these things out immediately. I mean, by that, I don't mean he's farting. Right. But anyhow, he has really been kicking ass. Maybe I should say that.
He's been farting
ass. The Daily Rush videos. And the most recent one is titled Tony Bennett Loves Movies and Bella Thorne.
Yeah, man. He does.
The description says you can't pump your own butter at theaters anymore, but when you look at Bella Thorne's OnlyFans page, you can pump your own butter. That's according to Tony Bennett.
Tony's very insightful.
You can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. Who's more of a perv, Regis or Tony Bennett?
Tony's more into the poop.
Okay.
Where Regis is more the sex. So I think probably Regis.
Okay. All right.
But in a loving way. And in that Regis way that we just love.
All right. We're going to do today's lesson question. And we are going to give away, what do we have today? We have, $50 gift card for Nebraza. Yummy. Lots of food, by the way. Question that I have for you is, what is Kathy's worst nightmare? 215-263-WMMR.
The actual worst nightmare?
Being where is Kathy's worst nightmare?
Or did Steve say something?
Steve said it, yeah.
I totally forgot.
Yeah.
Being where is Kathy's worst nightmare? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer, and we will do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's get some stories. Steve, what's going on this morning?
Well, Brian Austin Green is completely fine with his ex Megan Fox getting serious with musician Machine Gun Kelly. Green does say he was devastated in the beginning and even attempted to win Fox back by changing his name to Brian Austin John Dillinger.
Oh, my God.
The winner of X Factor Season 15, singer Dalton Harris, says he had to work up a tremendous amount of courage to admit that he is pansexual. Still, Harris says that was nothing compared to working up the courage to admit he was competing on the X Factor. And finally, Paris Hilton has released a brand new song called I Blame You as a tribute to her new boyfriend, Carter Riem. Paris says Carter is the one of the guys she is currently dating. And that's her Hollywood Trash.
All right, we shall see if we can find an answer to this lesson question. And yes, I should stress that it is what Steve had said is Kathy's worst nightmare. 215-263-WMMR. But you know what?
Yeah.
Somebody hang up who had the other answer, and
yeah,
I probably should have.
You don't have to do a damn thing.
Let me go to Taylor because I think Taylor knows. Hey Taylor, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good, Taylor. What is Kathy's worst nightmare?
Is it being in Baltimore?
Being in Baltimore. Yeah. You got it, Taylor. Hang on. I'm going to give you a $50 gift card for Nebraza, courtesy of Fast and Furious Spy Racers Rio. Is this the old HBO thing?
Oh, my God. Brings back memories, doesn't it?
Okay. So Fast and Furious Spy Racers Rio, exclusively on Netflix now. Nebraza is open for curbside pickup or indoor-outdoor dining. Serving a full 15 Brazilian meat service with a dedicated server to each table. Details at Nebraza.com. All right, now we'll get into music news. Here we go.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah!
All right, several stories to pass along to you. We'll begin with this one. Foo Fighters performed an acoustic set at an empty Troubadour in Los Angeles this past weekend. The performance was part of the Save Our Stages Festival. 3-day virtual event in support of independent music venues at risk of closing their doors permanently. According to Rolling Stone, the performance featured Skin and Bones, My Hero, These Days, Times Like These, and Everlong, which Dave performed solo. During the performance, Dave said, "Each of us have had pretty amazing experiences at this club, but there are a lot of small venues like this around the world that need your support right now." He said, "It's crucial that we get everything that we can to make sure these venues survive in order to be there to inspire the next generation of musicians to go on and do beautiful things with their lives."
To that point, Preston, so some of these are funds and some of these are calls to get government assistance. And I didn't really look too deep into this particular one, but it's a great cause. Do they want you to, on a one-on-one level, support the venues, or is it a fund for Save the Stage? Or
you know what I don't know about the Save Our Stage?
Because there's a number of them that these artists are doing, and they all have different complexions to them.
Yeah, this one I'm not sure about, unfortunately. Sorry. Angus Young explained that although his late brother Malcolm Young co-wrote the new AC/DC album, his guitar work is not featured on the new set.
Huh.
Power Up is what is called the band's first new album in over 6 years. It is set for release on November 13th. Blabbermouth had described some of Angus's recent chat on a Spanish radio station in which he said, "I know a lot of people have been saying, did Malcolm actually play? Is it his instrument on the new album? And I chose not to do that because I felt Malcolm himself wouldn't like me trying to splice his guitar work up." Power Up includes musical ideas co-written by the brothers over the recent years, which were reshaped and re-recorded for Power Up. He said, "Malcolm and myself, a lot of what we had done through the years, we'd make notes with the tracks. Some might be a little bit rough here and there, and I polish them up. In other cases, Malcolm might have done just a small bit, and then I would do the next verse. The bulk of the contribution of Mal is mainly musical."
Did you see on PrestonSteve.com the AC/DC logo generator that we have there?
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, so you can, you know, put your initials into the generator, and it'll make basically an AC/DC logo out of your initials.
So if you go to the website, you can do that on your own, too, if you'd like to.
Oh, it's that's kind of cool.
Angus had also shed light on Axl Rose subbing for Brian Johnson on the band's last tour, in which he was sidelined with a serious hearing issue. He said, "On the last tour, when Brian had his hearing problem with the deafness in his ears, for us at the time, we had some dates and shows that we were committed to doing. And it was a case of, well, we'll get through those shows, but how do we go about that?" And Axl had said to us, he'd gotten a message out that he could help in any way to finish up those commitments. If it didn't interfere with what his own project was, he would help us get through that. Angus went on to say Axl participated with helping us get through that tour, and that's something we'll always be grateful for because he had done a really good job. So everyone appreciates that he did that, which was pretty cool. The Beastie Boys have allowed their classic song Sabotage to be used in a new ad campaign spot for Joe Biden's presidential campaign. And this is the first time they've ever allowed any of their songs to be licensed for any advertisement of any kind. The ad, which ran during yesterday's Steelers-Browns game, focuses on how hard the live music industry has been hit by coronavirus pandemic, highlighting an Ann Arbor, Michigan club called the Blind Pig that's been operating for 50 years. It currently remains closed amid the pandemic, and in the spot, the owner blames what he viewed as a botched response by Trump to the coronavirus. And Sabotage served for the last 20 seconds of the 60-second ad, including as Biden and Harris are seen walking. Late Beastie Boys member Adam Yauch had said in his will that the music he was involved in creating couldn't be used for product advertising. The spokesperson for Biden's campaign said the Beasties agreed to Sabotage use in the spot, quote, because of the importance of the election. So it's the first time they've ever done it. They've always been hard and fast about it. I remember one time, I want to say for some reason like Surge or something. You remember that soda?
Yeah.
There was like an energy drink or something like that that had used just a small portion of their music, and they fought tooth and nail to keep that from happening.
Wasn't there a kid's book?
It was pretty damn innocent.
Was it? And it was very innocent, and it was actually for educational purposes. Mm-hmm. And even that, they wouldn't allow.
Like, no way.
No. Yeah.
Which is funny because the first part of their career was all about sampling other artists.
Yes.
Little clips.
Don't
and
you
so
dare
on.
Touch our stuff.
Yeah. Tommy Lee's new solo album, Andro, was released on Friday. The 14-song project features collaborations with Post Malone, Tyla Yowie, Mickey Avalon, Lucas Rossi, Push Push, and Brooke Candy, to name a few. The title Andro comes from the word androgyny. According to a release, Andro is, quote, the musical manifestation of the concept of androgyny, which is a combination of the essence of male and female genders.
And water is the essence of moisture, correct?
Of wetness.
The wetness, yes.
Lee said this pandemic has put a new spin on just about everything we do, and music is always the cure for what we go through.
Exactly. I don't know what he's talking about.
Andro can definitely help ease what effing ails y'all. Also, on Friday, Lee released a video for the song Caviar on a Paper Plate featuring Mickey Avalon. Volbeat. Is it my last story? No, I got a couple more. Volbeat is set to release Rewind, Replay, Rebound live in Deutschland digitally worldwide on November 27th with new 27-song set feature songs recorded during the sold-out German leg of last year's Rewind, Replay, Rebound World Tour.
Wow.
Along with two additional tracks recorded earlier on the tour. The first song is available now if you'd like to check that out. And then I saved this one for last. Rush fans have something to look forward to next year with the publication of Neil Peart, The Illustrated Quotes.
Huh.
The tome, which comes on January 12th of 2021, is the first and only Neil Peart quotes collection authorized by Neil himself, and also serves as a love letter to Peart and his beautifully crafted words that have inspired and influenced millions around the world.
The press who's doing the illustrations?
I don't know about that yet.
I hope it's Don Martin.
The press release from publisher Simon & Schuster, Peart's collection reads in part, as the drummer and primary lyricist for the multi-platinum selling rock band Rush, Neil charmed the world with his introspective and eclectic writing, heavily inspired by science fiction, fantasy, philosophy, and his many cross-country trips on his motorcycle, Neil crafted universal lyrics and encapsulated the social and humanitarian issues of the time. So that's going to come out in January, and I will definitely be getting that.
They used to sell, it was a greeting card company. And they would sell books of, like, the lyrics of Bread, Preston.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Done
with, you know, like, as romantic things. And but, you know, if it, listen, it's, they work if you're a fan of that particular band. Yeah. This sounds like something pretty cool.
Yep. All right. And that's what I have for you. Yes, Casey.
So I wanted to bring something up real quick because we missed an anniversary. It happened.
Did?
Yeah, it happened last week. Now, listen, I've been with you guys a long time, over two decades. And
it's 20 years.
That is. It's over 20 years I've been with you guys, and I've had some really, really fond moments of just some gaffes that happened on this show. But it was about a year and a week ago that this happened, and I loved it.
A year and a week ago?
A year and a week ago.
Okay. Cream of the Scream, stop number two, Base Motel Haunted Hayride tonight at 6 o'clock.
Such a good time.
It's going to be a beautiful night tonight.
Yes, Bordo. Absolutely.
Just cloudy skies, a little bit cool, perfect for getting your ass
your funk on.
Destroyed by being scared. Why did I just say get your ass destroyed?
What the hell are they doing down there?
It's terrifying.
Your staff of horse.
Gonna rip
this motel will rip your butthole to shreds. You'll be crapping blood for a month.
Three callers right now.
Look at that. It's my sphincter.
What happened? 263 WMMR. Oh my God. We'll be back in a moment.
Wow. Ass destroyed. I remember that day. You were a little tired. We were all tired. I forget what we had done, or maybe it was just the week, but we all had that sort of giddy, you know, those, like, usually a Friday is how we end up at that point. Mm-hmm. And then we were all like,
that was a Thursday.
That was a Thursday.
Most of the time when I'm setting something up, or, you know, doing a giveaway, or sometimes just leading into whatever a segment might be, I'm not really sure what I'm going to say, and I just let the words come as they come.
And you're so good at it, man.
And I chose the wrong word.
Ass destroyed
that time.
You chose poorly.
It happens.
But it was still great. It made a great moment.
It was fun. All right,
and I bet your business skipped up tremendously.
Wouldn't it?
Yes.
You want to get your ass destroyed? We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get ready to wrap it up and get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Tala. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword, Local Shots. Tala, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
A Monday morning coming to a close for us. That means that your day continues on, unless you're wrapping up like we are. But you got a nice chunk of it out of the way. And next thing you know, it'll be Tuesday and Wednesday and so on. We'll move through this week, make it go as smooth as possible. Yes, Nick
McElwain.
Can I
ask you a Rush question? You too, Steve. Growing up, the only station that I knew that played Rush was this one. And I was not a huge fan. And when I was in like eighth grade and middle school, I started meeting guys who were into it. And I was like, oh, that's cool. It's kind of different. And I liked the band, yes, but I didn't know Rush nearly as well. And then I listened to MMR. And then when I started working here, I gained an appreciation for them and then eventually came around and liked them more. When you guys were growing up listening to the radio, did the stations that you listened to play a lot of Rush?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. WBAB on Long Island and WNEW. NEW played it less. But actually, and my appreciation for Rush worked backwards when the song Subdivisions came out. And I thought that was such an amazing song and such an amazing message that I worked backwards and said, okay, I really now am going to recontextualize all this.
That's
and
great.
That's when I became a big Rush fan.
Yeah, KSHE, KSHE95 in St. Louis, they played lots of Rush.
I wonder why more stations didn't. I mean, maybe they just weren't that radio-friendly for some places. I don't know.
And
I
listen, and having lived around the country a little bit, you find out the regionality, if that's even more a word, of some artists, of some bands. While they may have a little bit of success in some markets and others, they're incredibly popular and famous, you know? So growing up in the Midwest, I mean, like bands like REO Speedwagon were huge where I grew up, where they had success out this way, but not nearly to that extent. Same thing with Bruce Springsteen. Now, Bruce was a national phenomenon, but earlier on, like some of that early stuff, I never heard on the radio ever.
Billy Joel, too. The same. Billy Joel, it was illegal to live on Long Island and not be a Billy Joel. Yeah, it was just part of the deal, you know? Yeah. And bands like, do you remember Zebra?
Yeah.
Zebra was a huge band on Long Island and in that general area. Mm-hmm. And they had one or two songs that broke over, but that was it.
Yeah, we have a couple of those songs in our...
Who's behind the door?
Okay, that's this one.
Tell me what you want. It's the other big one. Yeah.
I don't know this band at all.
I liked Zebra, actually.
So did I.
And the guy would do, the lead singer would do this thing. At some points, he would go really up in a high falsetto, super high falsetto.
Okay. Yeah.
Towards the end, he kind of gets into that really going. But
in a classic thing, Preston, one time after the success of this band, I went into a PC Richards, and the guitarist was working at the PC Richard.
I believe it.
Like a electronics store.
Yeah.
You know, and super nice guys and did a lot of charity stuff, but and a talented band, but that was it.
If you don't hit, then you gotta go get a real job at some point.
Yeah.
Gotta happen some.
We sailed away.
All right, so anyway.
It's a good song.
It is. I like it. I always dug it. All right, anyway, we want to thank Michael Yo.
Yo!
Hey, yo!
For being on the show this morning. Yeah.
If all Michael Yo ever contributes to the show is a need and a want to play that clip, his job is done.
The pituation doing his Rocky impression, which is really bad now that he hears it. Michael Yo is going to be at Punchline. They're doing their patio series. He will be playing Friday and Saturday. There's two shows each night. And you can go to punchlinephilly.com to get those tickets and get the details about the shows. Pierre Robert has just walked into the studio. I first ask, how was your weekend?
Very nice, thank you.
Excellent. Beautiful weather.
You kids, everybody good?
Yes, very much so.
Did you get to walk yesterday? Yes. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your question. Because it was a virtual AIDS walk yesterday.
I virtually walked in my mind.
All right.
Good for you.
Listen, Whatever that's virtual.
Really yeah. I mean, I had a virtual hell of a walk.
Yeah.
I virtually walked up mountains, down streams, over valleys, across an entire desert.
You even competed in the Olympics.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the walking Olympics.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah.
That's crazy.
All for the AIDS Fund, which was yesterday. AIDSFundPhilly.com. Go there, make a donation for the AIDS walk, and virtually walk like I did.
Yes.
Or, I mean, you know, even longer than I did. Or that, too. They had actually had to call out the virtual rescue team for me.
He became virtually hyperventilating.
It virtually cost me thousands, but I donated it all to the AIDS Fund, so it all worked out.
Good.
So we had a virtual happy ending.
Good.
Better hear that. Yeah.
Was there something you were going to ask Petunia before Casey jumped in there?
No.
Okay.
I was just going to ask how her weekend was.
Lovely. I did a little fall activity, so it was nice.
You want
I
me to come over and help
I can't
you decorate?
Breathe now, but... Fall activities. Wait, you talk about decorating. I have a note in my calendar from last year to contact Feeney's in Bucks County. They have like these amazing Christmas decorations because we had talked about me decorating our green room and you decorating the old green room and sort of competing. So I was going to contact them and see if they'd be interested in partnering with us.
Sure. That's something we could still do, even with no really visitors allowed here in the studios. You guys could still do
that. We could do that.
Yeah.
Are you want to do that?
I would love to do
it. All right, let's
go. I think so. And it could,
you're going to take the Comcast lounge.
Okay.
And I'll take whatever this thing is.
You can take the studio and whatever this old green
room. So Kathy's doing ours?
Yeah.
Okay.
Steve, I got you.
What about this studio? Because Preston likes this studio decorated.
No, they don't. He
wants this. He wants a lot of hanging gargoyles and things.
If anybody gets this studio, it's me.
Yeah, elfish hanging gargoyles.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Letter?
There are things I do look forward to you, before we go to the letter, in your decorations. I love the wreath stand.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite ones.
It's still got the paper on it.
Yep. It says wreath stand. Right. And the shotgun shells. Absolute classic. The ones that are, the lights that are still in the box.
Right.
So I love those things. They're great.
Do you know what I think?
It's just visually, it's tough when we're looking. When the way it used to be in the old studio, we couldn't see each other.
Well, it looks like Liberace exploded. But I would say this is that I think there's going to be a special appreciation for that this year because of all of the stuff that's been going on and how insanely crappy 2020 has been. Like, for example, my Halloween decorations that I've set up, my haunted graveyard and cemetery up in front of the house, people stop all the time and kids come by and for like the neighborhood are just... And thank you for doing this and putting it up. And I think people are just excited to have something to smile about. So
right. Indeed.
Yes.
Well, are kids going to trick-or-treat in your neighborhood this year?
I think they are. Okay. And so in preparation, we're going to do it in a way that's a little bit more a safer way, you know, so that they're not no chance to bunch up.
Right.
And I will, if they do come by, I will dispense myself out of one thing into various things. So it's not like a communal place where everyone's putting their hands.
I didn't quite get that. How are you going to dispense yourself?
So I'm going to take the candy and I will put it in each bag as opposed to having one receptacle that multiple hands are going into.
Got it.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yep. All right. Well, now we're ready for the letter. If you're set, dude.
Yes.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter.
L is in letter.
A good one to start with. All right, so we have five letters all together that make a word. We'll get it on Friday, and then we'll give away a $300 Xfinity Live gift card. It's always a home game at Xfinity Live. Xfinity Live is your home to watch and cheer on the birds for all their home games, home and away games, actually. To reserve your table now for Birds Game Day, you can visit XfinityLive.com. You got some matchups today, right, man?
I do. As we enter the Steel 16, we're going into Lincoln Park against Aerosmith, and that'll be at 11:30. And then at 1:30, Foo Fighters against Tom Petty.
Jackson has some big ones. Led Zeppelin against AC/DC. Stevie Ray Vaughan, who took by surprise Tool, will play off against Shinedown. Oh, wait a minute. Jackson's off this week. Brent Porsche is on.
Uh-huh. Oh, he gets to do those. Okay.
How perfect
that will influence.
It is that Brent will, I'm sure, campaign heavily. We can't cheat, by the way. If you're thinking that we could influence it, all we can do is try to convince you, you know, maybe play a song that really moves you.
And sometimes that can backfire, too. I mean, not just not playing the song, but if you go and you endorse something and hit it pretty hard, it can ignite the other side, too.
With me, always.
Yeah.
Whatever I vote for, they go the other way. Yeah. No, please, you've got to vote for it done.
Yeah.
Sunk like the Titanic.
You might then act like you hate it and see if you have a reverse psychology to
right.
it.
Uh-huh.
But though your tastes are so well known over these years.
Yeah.
So like if you came out as a champion of Guns N' Roses, we would know.
Mm.
You know,
we would know that that might not be genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I will have workforce blocks of Sting and the Police, In Excess, Jack White in his various contraptions, and we'll have some fun.
Excellent. I'm sure we will. All right. Let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Acme Markets Fresh Food, local flavors, and also Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And then finally, by Auto... BTY by AutoPartsExpert.com.
Oh, good. Brought to you by. That's a good reason, you know, good thing that they put BTY. Everybody understands what BTY means.
Okay. AutoPartsExpert.com.
And another company called LOL.
Hard to find brand name parts available same day. Tomorrow.
Why would you do it? Why would you write in code?
Buy tea yourself.
Yeah. BTY. Tomorrow on the program, Dan Soder.
Yay!
Will be joining us. We love having Dan on.
He's great.
Yep, so we'll spend some time with him, and I'm sure we'll get in some other good stuff. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Well, it's me again. Pissed off painter and Delco going in to paint f***ing cars. So f***ing sad. It's Monday, man. God damn it.
Next message.
Well, having watched Steve's recommendations, all 10 of them, I find his taste a bit too eclectic for the general public. But it's nice to know that someone's mind is as contorted as mine.
Next message.
Hey, a big huge truck driver who decided to spit his wad of chew out his window not 5 minutes after I get on the highway after buying my brand new truck. And up my teeth. Hope you die of gonorrhea and rot in hell, you bastard.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.